Oh. Hey, Mike, how's that sound? Good? Just good? Clear? Like a bell? Like ice water? Does it sound like ice water? Remember good old-fashioned ice water, Mike? Anybody remember drinking water from the hose? Right? Hey, who remembers drinking water from a hose? It would be hot at first. Then it would get cold. But at first you'd be like, ah! I burned my mouth on that hot hose water. This is from my stand-up. I'll be taking this to Edinburgh. It's called Remember Yesteryear. It's my reminiscence of the past. Remember that hose water you try to drink from a hose? Be hot. Then it'd be cold. Right? Hot hose water. You burn your mouth. Remember the first time you put something with tin foil in the microwave? Right? With spark? Remember that? It'll just be me doing that for 2.5 hours. It's called Remember Yesteryear. Remember grown-up cereal when you'd be like, bleh, who'd eat that? Give me Count Chocula. Now I can't eat that stuff. But back then, I thought Wheaties were health food. Remember that? And then it goes dark. That's the end of Act One, folks. Two more acts to go. Two? Yeah, it's like The Iceman Cometh. Mike gave me a DVD of The Iceman Cometh. He's like, that's very early. Remember that, Mike? Mike's like, yeah, watch this. No, of course not. It's balancing a table, a wobbly table in my house. That DVD, The Iceman Cometh. You need less of that stuff in your life, Mike. I'm taking it away from you. And you know what you need more of, Mike? It's called The Best Show. And I'm the host of it. My name's Tom Sharpling, and we have an exciting episode coming up for you tonight. Oh, my goodness, in the studio. It is like, it's like the what would it be? What comes in threes, Mike? Yeah, what comes in threes? It's like a trilogy. It's like Star Wars. It's like Star Wars. We have Nellie McKay is going to be here, and we have Joe Firestone is going to be here, and Hayes Davenport all in the studio here. And then the usual cast of maniacs, AP Mike and the lot. The topic we're going to talk tonight, if you've got your holiday problems, you got your problems? Well, my friends, in the tradition of Arnold Diaz and other network problem solvers tonight, you are dealing with the holiday problem solvers, and it's hashtag holiday problem solvers. So, hashtag that on the Twitter and on social media. Don't you like when somebody's like, do it on the, and they get it wrong and they like know they got it wrong, right? It's like, put that on your tweet thing. Yeah, you know it's called Twitter, stupid. It's been around for 8 years already. It's already on the way out. It's dead already. Twitter died. Dudes like me, man, we don't hang out there anymore. You catch us. Where do you catch us, Mike? Periscope. Me, dudes like me, we're on Periscope. I'll talk more about that later. But right now, I'm going to give you the intro to The Best Show. Here comes the show right now. We'll be right back. How about that? Best show. 2015. Closing it out. Home stretch. We are pretty much also at the 1 year mark of the best show being back in its new iteration, and I want to thank everybody who has been on board for a year, and yeah, we tried. Now it's over. 1 year, that's enough, right? Plenty of good things went 1 year. Geeks and Freaks, right? Mike, you ever watch Geeks and Freaks? It's kind of like my Remember Yesteryear thing. But it's all they're doing is they're remembering like bad things that happened to them on Geeks and Freaks. Like, remember when I got a swirly? Like, it's like Losers on the show. Is there a wet mic? There's like a wedgie arc on the show. The show starts, every episode starts with one of the kids getting an atomic wedgie, and then the credits are like laid out on his, on the overflow on his drawers that come out of his pants. Like that's where the credits are animated. And like it all dances around Geeks and Freaks. We tried. Guys, you know how it goes. Look, I gave my best. But I guess my best wasn't good enough, right? I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. Is that Jeffrey Osborne, right? He also sang, On the Wings of Love. Only the two of us together flying high. We tried and now it's done. The best show is done forever. I'm telling you, man, when this version ends, it ain't coming back a third time. That ain't happening. We are not doing a third go-round. Nope. When it's done, it's done. I'm taking this equipment. I'll bury it. You know what I'm going to do? I'll bury it casino style, Mike, right? The way Joe Pesci got buried in Casino. Remember that movie? Do you know what makes me... I watched Casino over the weekend, Mike. You know what made me laugh in Casino? Remember when Joe Pesci had that dude's head in a vice? And then, but do you remember the name? He's like, just give me the name. He said, Charlie M. And he goes, Charlie M? You made me pop your eyeball out of your head for that, blah, blah, blah. Charlie M. Might be the funniest thing I've ever heard. Charlie M. Music, what did we just hear? Oh, Unrest. Played him Unrest last week, played him again this week. From their album, Imperial. I Do Believe You're Blushing. One of the all-time greatest albums. Can't beat that stuff, man. It's on Teen Beat. Go over to Teen Beat and check it out. But Geeks and Freaks, man, you gotta watch that, Mike. That was another one-season wonder. The new Best Show was a one-season wonder. Geeks and Freaks was... There were a couple other one season. That's My Bush, right? Remember that show? Another one season wonder. Sometimes the great ones only go one season. Homeboys in Outer Space. Dads. Remember that show, Dads? With Seth Green and Giovanni Ribisi were paired with their wacky dads, played by Martin Mull and some other dude, the dude from Animal House. What was that dude's name? I don't know. Who cares? Well, we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. We have Nellie McKay is going to be in studio. We got Joe Firestone is going to be in studio. We got Hayes Davenport's going to be in studio. And the topic, holiday problem solvers. Tonight, I'm putting together a team of the ultimate holiday problem solvers. You're not sure what to do? Look, these holidays, they're rife with problems, right, Mike? Like, what's a holiday problem you have, Mike? Mike waited too long to get his nephew a present. What were you going to get him? What? What were you going to get him? A helicopter. A helicopter ride? Like a remote, like a Hess truck. Well, Hess trucks don't go in the air. Not unless you throw them. Mike's trying, well, this is probably why you can't find the thing, Mike. There's no such thing as a flying Hess truck. Boy, that's, speaking of remember when, you ever get a relative in this, if people live in New Jersey, man, you get that Hess truck as a gift, you know that the relative bought it on the way to the house. They bought it while filling up. Oh, forgot to get little Tom something. He likes trucks. No, he doesn't. He talks about his. He talks about how Hess is his favorite brand of gasoline all the time. He just can't stop talking about it. And he also talks about how he loves the Hess family, owners of the New York Jets. He just loves. What's the guy's name? Adolf Hess, right? Can you imagine Adolf Hess? Like, he got to slide over to Dolph. Guy dug in on that one. My name's Adolf, damn it. Not my fault, but the other Adolf. I'm not changing it. I'm not gonna be Dolph Hess. You call me Adolf, Mark Gastineau. So now you've got these Jets from like the 80s calling them Adolf, like, Adolf. Thumbs down, Hess. But Mike, you'll see Mike on early morning, December 25th. You'll get Mike there. Hess gas station. He'll wrap the thing with like those the paper towels that are near where like you can do the. The window washer thing, right? Like in case you like need to dry your hand off from like running that stick across. What do you call that? A window wiper thing? Yeah. Some lucky tyke in Mike's family is going to get a Hess truck wrapped in paper towels. Who's good here? Juan? Best show, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tom. It's Angus in Edinburgh.
Well, well, well. Angus in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland.
I'm looking forward to your show.
Remember yesteryear.
It sounds better than some things I've seen.
I'm taking it over. It's going to be me and... I know Russell Brand is doing his new show, It's all
one day.
It's called It's All Cocked Up, isn't it? That's his show.
Sounds about right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a swear word? That's not a swear word, is it?
I think you could say it at sort of after 7 o'clock, like okay. Once, but you'd be fine after 9 o'clock.
Russell Brand gives you the true state of the union, Earth, with his new show. It's all cocked up, isn't it?
He's not really allowed on television, though. He just does the YouTube thing, doesn't he? I think he had, like, one documentary made by him for Imagine or something last year, but he's not. And the Winterbottom thing. But,
your president! you lot are about to elect Donald Trump! Who's next? Who's next? Who's the guy from Kitchen Nightmares?
Ramsay.
Who?
Gordon Ramsay.
You said Bramley. I was like, Bramley? It's not Bramley.
Not quite.
That'd be like if we elected Gordon Ramsay Prime Minister.
He's Scottish. That'd be fine.
It's all cocked up, isn't it? Russell Brand. 4.5 hours. His take. Russell Brand takes the temperature of Earth. And he... Dr. Russell Brand takes the temperature of Earth. And that'll be the poster. It'll be him in like a lab coat. And like an Earth in a bed. And he's giving it like a thermometer. And he's holding it up and it's like really reading super hot. Like super high, like Earth's got a fever.
Has anyone seen ice before? I've found out about ice.
All right, now you're adding to my thing.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't... Take that over to Russell Brand. First of all, my thing's called Remember Yesteryear. Russell Brand's one-man show is called It's All Cocked Up, Isn't It?
Different times.
You lot are about to elect Donald Trump. He'll look at America like it's The Apprentice. Right? He'll go to, like, the unions. You're fired.
Have you seen the UK version of The Apprentice?
Who's on it now? Jimmy
that
Savile?
Alan Sugar.
How'd you guys let a prevert like Jimmy Savile go that long? You should all be thrown in jail for that.
Louis Theroux especially.
Who?
Louis Theroux.
What?
Louis Theroux did an hour-long documentary on Jimmy Savile, which is worth a watch. It's
was it like celebrating him?
Yeah, like in the 90s, before any of this came out, and it's weird and it's uncomfortable.
I'm telling you,
especially watching it now.
You could look at a picture of that guy if somebody dropped a picture of that guy in the bottom of a pool and you'd know what the score was. Right?
There was a guy at my school.
A blurry picture. You take a blurry picture of Jimmy Savile, drop it into a pool, let it hit the bottom of the pool. And then you go get somebody who doesn't know there's a picture in the pool to look into the deep end, say, hey, what do you make of that guy? Right? They'd be, that guy looks like a right nonce.
So,
isn't it?
There was a guy at my school took part in a race, and Jimmy Savile was running the race, and I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I'd seen pictures
of him. So they were running from Jimmy Savile?
Like, but as an organized event.
Well, that's how you win the race, is he chases you. Right.
But willingly, afterwards, he went and got a signed photograph with him. And I remember him taking it to me on the school bus and feeling uncomfortable with the situation.
England?
And yeah, Scotland.
So, Scotland. Yeah, okay.
We're not responsible for that.
Fair enough.
It's separate. It's a different thing.
Your friend had an autographed picture of Jimmy Savile.
He's not my friend, but yes.
What did he have hanging in his locker or something? That's weird.
Took it on the school bus.
So what can I do for you tonight, Angus?
I had two quick recommendations of things.
What do you got? Let's hear it.
Do you want the television series or do you want the album?
Let me hear the album first.
It's the newish soccer team album called Real Lessons in Cynicism, which came out on Discord in October.
Yeah, it's a good band, soccer team. They finally put a second album out.
I'm obsessed with this album, and no one seems to know about it.
All right. Well, I do. I know who Soccer Team are, bro.
Oh, it's good.
You don't step to me with that stuff. I'll send that one back into the fourth row.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I don't know what that means. What's the TV pick?
It's just come on to American Netflix and British Netflix. It's the first series of Limmy's Show, which was a sketch show that was on BBC Scotland about 2 or 3 years ago.
Now, what's the name of that, my friend?
Limmy's Show.
Limmy.
L-I-M-M. Yes.
Limmy.
Yes. The Twitter Vine superstar.
Okay.
Yes. But that's kind of halfway between Jam and the Armando Iannucci shows in terms of tone.
I'm going to check both of these out.
Oh.
The soccer team, I just didn't get around to hearing that yet. But a Limmy
really
show, you scoop me.
I just want to help. I want people to have.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, thanks for the call,
bro. Thank you.
Have a great night.
Good day with you.
Bye. Best show.
Hello, Tom. This is Andy from Birmingham. How are you?
Andy from Birmingham.
That's me.
What's going on down in Birmingham tonight?
Well, let's see here. My phone is charged.
All right.
And now I'm ready to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I have the holiday.
I might not brag about that phone right off the top.
Is that right?
Yeah. That sounds so good. He sounds like a southern robot, right?
Well, I'm the southern part, and then the phone's the robot.
Like if you set if Paulie from the Rocky movies set that robot to be like southern, you would sound like that robot.
Yeah, he's not an influence of mine, so I don't know about that.
Man, you bragged about that phone like you were. You're like, this is how you sounded. Just listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my phone don't charge.
That's what that sounded like.
Yeah.
Sounded like one of the Martians from Mars Attacks grew up in the South and then called the show. That's what you sound like, bro.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hey. Maybe Santa will bring a new phone.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. So what can I do for you, Chief?
Well, I was going to share a testimonial about an end-of-the-year joy, a way to end holiday problems.
Let's hear it.
All right. So this time last year, I get a Christmas card from a friend of mine, and in the card is the artwork for the Best Show box set, right?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? What a holiday treat that is. Because the Best Show box,
yep.
Sharpling and Worcester, Best of the Best Show. Grammy unnominated. Nominated for 0 Grammys. Don't worry, though. Jay Moore got nominated.
Yeah.
He got in there. Lisa Lampanelli got in with her hate speech. She squeezed in a... Grammys decided to honor one guy's a renowned joke thief, and all he can do is an impression of Dick Vitale. And the other one is basically like Goebbels. It's like if Goebbels had a tight 45.
Mm-hmm. So I think all you needed to do was release a CD of you doing impressions of your callers.
Lady Goebbels. That's Lisa Lampanelli, Lady Goebbels. That should be the name of her next album, Lady Goebbels. If she did that, I'd say, yeah, that should be nominated for a Grammy. But yeah, by all means, let's not nominate the 16 CD, 20 hours of stuff, 100 page hardcover book in there. No, let's not. Let's make sure that, Jay Moore's, POS gets nominated. What's this guy doing on stage, Jay Moore? What's he doing?
I don't want to know. I've never seen him.
This guy from Mafia. Remember Mafia, he was in that Mafia thing movie. It was called Mafia, A Love Story. What was that called, Mike? Remember that movie?
Yeah, it's
Yeah, you don't know. Hayes knows it. Hayes, what's the name of that movie?
Something.
Remember that Mafia movie Jay Moore did? It was like a Zucker Brothers thing. No? Okay. So, yeah, so you got a year ago, you got a thing for the Best Show box.
It's true. And I was aware of what it was. I wasn't a huge fan of the show, right?
Yeah.
But, of course, I went down the rabbit mm-hmm. hole.
Yes. You went down. You went down two rabbit holes that year. One was the Best Show, and the other one was the singularity. Man melding with machine.
Yeah.
One of our earliest cyborg fans you are, right?
Sure. I'm glad to be here in the year of Y.
What about if we do this? What if we do a show? It's you. It's called Southern Cyborg, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
I'm listening.
Southern Cyborg, and it's just like half man, half machine, all Dixie. Like that's what we call it, right?
Cyborg.
Right? The South is going to reboot again. What about that? Like that'll be the poster, right?
That's the tag.
The South is going to reboot again.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's going to work.
You're damn right it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're in the club right now. You picked I really do. I'm happy you're here.
Yeah. Well, here's the point, right? Here's the point of the whole story. I decided to return the favor and purchase the box set for somebody who is on the fringe.
I love it. You paid it forward like Kevin Spacey.
Exactly.
Right?
Somebody who has the sense of humor, taste in music, et cetera, is going to like the best show, but isn't addicted yet.
I love it. I've done that. All right, robot boy, I can't take your phone anymore. Seriously, Mike, write that down. Southern Cyborg. The South is going to reboot again. Half man, half machine, all Dixie. Okay? No, it wasn't Suicide Kings. It was Jane Austen's Mafia was the movie. Remember that? I saw it in the theater. It's not one of my better points in my life when I look back. When I look back and I realize I saw Basketball and Jane Austen's Mafia in the same day, then I realize, yeah, the ship was off target for a while there. A little rudderless. For stretches. Look, I want to bring in, let's bring my friends in. How about that? What do you think?
Sure.
Mike, can you escort my friends into the studio? Yeah, but the guests, not my friends. We'll get people in. Let's get it going. Let's get the party started, right? Look at Hayes Davenport. Joe Firestone. If you guys did a show, it could be called A Fire in Every Port. What do you think of that? It sure could. Look, I know you guys are happy to not be out there with Mike, right?
When you asked Mike to escort us in, he turned around and he kind of waved his hand.
Yeah.
Just gave a big hand sweep.
Yeah, that was the...
Did not get up.
Escorting, yeah. Well... Look, when I say the word escort to Mike. Yeah. Ambulance. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you this. We did the show in Philadelphia, the Sharpling and Worcester show in Philadelphia. First of all, it was one of the craziest things I've ever been a part of. 800 people just about came out for it. And then I bring Mike on stage at one point, and this crowd, no joke, it starts. Mike?
Yeah.
What was that like when you came on stage and they were going and like 800 people were chanting at the same time? Mike, Mike, Mike. But it was so aggressive. It was like, Mike, 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 Mike. And I actually got nervous. Like if Mike pushed me into the crowd and said, let's get him. They would have followed his lead at that point.
It's like that Albert Brooks story about Richie Havens opening for Richie. When the crowd's like, Richie, Richie.
Richie, Richie, Richie. He's like, is your name Richie?
Yeah.
He's like.
Is it possible that Mike Schmidt was standing behind?
What if Mike Schmidt?
AP Mike.
Mike Schmidt came out in his full Phillies uniform and just waved to the crowd. And then Mike was just thought it was all about him, and then he turned around and Mike Schmidt is there Mike Schmidt's there with the giant pony keg. Right? What would he have, a pony keg?
Sure.
He could probably just roll around Philly keg the whole time and be just like, yeah, I just get drunk all the time and I get in my car and drive around. What cop in Philadelphia would write Mike Schmidt up for a DUI?
He has probably, the cops probably have a trailer hitch just for Mike's car specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're just like, look, Mike, let's just hitch it up tonight. We'll drive you wherever you're going to go. And he just goes back in his car. Now, for people who don't know who my first two guests are, Joe Firestone.
Yes.
You're a comedian.
Sure. Yeah.
You're a radio host. In your own right.
Thank you.
You host a show called Dr. Game Show.
I do. And you've been on it.
I have been on it, and it's fixed.
Excuse me?
I won that thing up, down, every which way.
Oh, you think that was fixed? We were trying to make you lose.
Oh, I know it was fixed. It's on WFMU for people that. The question, there was like the one game that we had to play within it was.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Reboot these TV shows. And as soon as that got asked, I'm just like, because the first questions were like nature questions. I'm just like, I don't know anything about
you
nature.
You didn't know anything about nature.
I didn't know anything. It was like, what's the animal of Canada? I was like, what, Wolverine? I don't know. Because I thought he's like, if they're going to name a superhero after, right? After
sure. Canada didn't do that. But.
No, but I thought of a dumb American comic book writer being like, I don't know, what? Canada, what? Let's just call this guy Wolverine. This guy from Canada. So that one, I ate it on, admittedly.
Yeah.
Then the category was reboot these shows. And I start going on. I'm telling you, the guy I was competing against didn't even know. It was Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the other ones?
Alf. I think you had to reboot Alf.
You didn't know Alf. I rebooted. Wow. I covered Alf from every angle.
Yeah, you did pretty good in rebooting
it. It was like a gritty Christopher Nolan type of Alf. Where I think he actually ate cats. He actually consumed them. And then Max Wright was in it. That guy. Man, Alf drove him up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Willie.
Yeah.
Remember? Alf. He was always like, Alf, what did you do, Alf? Like, you could see the hypertension. Like, it's like, this dude's going to have a heart attack. Like, he's acting on the thing. And then the actual guy started doing, like, crack in real life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had kind of a sad,
That's what Alf drove him to.
Oh, jeez. I wonder if he was the only one that used his neck in the audition.
Like, the purple neck?
Yeah, like everyone else acted with their face, but he used his neck. And they were like, I think we should go with the neck guy.
Yeah, like they go back to talk about the people who just auditioned for it, and they're like, there were funnier people. But that dude really hates Alf. And there's some fireworks there we want to ride. So I did this thing. I rebooted Alf. I rebooted Matlock. And the other guy I was competing against didn't know what Matlock was.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was MacGyver. He came up with his pitch. He started pitching a MacGyver reboot that he didn't even know what that was. He only knew that through MacGruber, pretty much. So.
Is he like 14?
Yeah. And then the. And
he's
then the,
31. That's oh, the wow. sad yeah. thing.
And the judge on her show. What's that kid's name?
Manolo.
Yeah, Manolo.
He looks young, but he's 35.
Well, he's a very nice guy. But he's corrupt as the day is long.
Oh, you lost.
I didn't sweep that category, which I should have. I cleaned that. He's like, I'm going to give this one to the other guy. It's like, what? That's just backroom politics.
I feel like he's pretty fair. We test him. You know, we test him with different judgment calls throughout the week. And so he's pretty fair.
So you keep his judging skills, like, sharpened.
Yeah.
It's like sharpening a knife.
Yeah, it's like which of these is softer, which of these is louder, you know, a lot of kinds of things that take an objective sense.
And does it come back like a report, like it's like he's at 98% judge accuracy.
Yeah, that week he was at 99% accuracy.
Wow. Okay.
So
I don't know. Fair enough.
Seems like you're just upset.
Look, I know what I did that day. You know what I did that day. You know. I saw it in your face that day. You knew.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not the judge.
I was probably just warm.
No, you knew. You knew Joe Firestone. So, comedian, improvisor, right? You do everything.
No.
Yeah. You're super funny.
Thanks, man. Hey, right back at you.
Hey, right back at you, bro. Now, Hayes Davenport, if I can introduce you for a second.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, let's throw it over to Nellie. Nellie's coming in. No. I'd prefer if
we'll introduce everybody.
Nellie gets some shine.
How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks. And you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Found you.
You found it. Are you okay?
Oh, very well. Thank you. Yes.
This is Joe.
Hi. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
This is Hayes.
Hi, Nellie.
Hello, Hayes.
Nice to meet you.
So Hayes Davenport, he does a podcast called Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah.
And an organization no less than Vulture.
No less, yeah.
Voted it the 7th best comedy podcast.
Somehow.
In this calendar year.
One of the 10 best comedy podcasts of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we did not have any of the top 10 best episodes of the year, which you did have.
Oh, yeah. I did have one. They picked a real fun
one.
Yeah,
they
me.
Picked a nice one.
You see,
you're probably anxious to recreate the
experience. Funny story. Funny story. My year starts off, my dad dies. 5 days later, my grandmother dies. I come on the radio, talk about it. That's the one those ghouls chose to put in their funniest, bless you, their funniest episodes of the year.
Do it again.
And they even wrote, that one can only happen once, guys. So then they were like, and then the thing they wrote just like, he's usually super cranky and he's probably mad at this. It's like, oh, stop.
Yeah, you certainly weren't mad about not being on the other list.
No, not at all. It's not like those things aren't arbitrary or anything. They're throwing darts at the iTunes screen.
Right.
Right?
Present company.
That's how dumb they are.
Present company.
No, of course.
Excluded.
I'm in the 4-time club.
Yeah.
Right?
You're the only member of the 4-timers club.
4.5, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
The episode that no one will ever hear.
We should get together. Maybe we should get together and talk about, do an episode about
the one
what that, happened about, like, why we couldn't do the other one.
Well, just as a teaser, because there was no Hollywood Handbook this week.
No.
Because
today, it was supposed to drop today.
Because of technical problems.
Yeah.
And the episode that would have aired was me and you.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been on 5 times.
Yeah.
It's rare air, man.
It's untouchable.
Didn't happen, though.
Is my mic on?
It is.
Oh, great.
Does it not sound like it's on?
I guess my headphones are off, but that's okay. Why do we need these, you know?
For callers.
Oh, yeah.
For example.
Oh, that's a very good reason.
And now I'm going to go over to this other side of the room. My guest, Nellie Mackay, is here. You made it.
Yes.
You did. It's so exciting you're here.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. It's lovely. I take my Easy Pass off because, you know, if you don't have an Easy Pass, then you can get charged $15 extra in the mail and, or, you know, just extra generally for refusing to have a tracking device on your car, even if you take the battery out of your cell phone. Yeah. So I take it off, though, when you can pay cash because I like, you know, a human being. I like to support a human being. But I was wearing a funny hat. And so, so I she said, "How are you?" I said, "Fine, how are you?" And she got a little scared. And, I didn't even ask for my receipt. She was so scared.
Why'd you take the funny hat off to come? It's a comedy show.
Oh, well, you know, it's a different kind of funny. Really.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like a more kind of, it's kind of like Red Skelton. You know, was he really funny or tragic? You know?
There was a time I got a tour of in Los Angeles, the A&M studios on what's that, on like La Brea, and it used to be Charlie Chaplin's studio.
Yeah, it's Sunset and La Brea.
And it was also the Muppets were out of there too.
Yeah.
And then this listener, God bless this guy, nice guy, he's like, "Hey, you want to come by and get a tour?" I'm like, "Yeah, you kidding? I'd love to see this place." And he's like, and we show up, and he's showing me everything. He's like, but at that point, they took all the Muppets up to Disney. So he's like, yes, that table used to have all the Muppets. It was like an empty table. He was like, yeah, all the Muppets. That's where we fixed the Muppets. It was like an empty room. Like
just a discolored spot of like Kermit's butt.
And then the only things that they had the rights to were just like, they had like one of the dinosaurs that showed dinosaurs, like half of one of those was laying around.
Like,
the baby.
Oh, the baby.
Yeah.
The
that's the one you want.
Well,
what do you want? The baby. The daughter?
Yeah. Oh. I saw that baby. That baby's not doing so good. And then we went out into the courtyard. And he's like, because this is where it was Charlie Chaplin's studio. And then he showed, he was like, and then that studio right there, that's the A&M studio where like, that's where like, Flying Burrito Brothers recorded and We Are the World was recorded in there. I can't take you in there though. So it's just like, it's like the world's non-tour. And then like, then it led to the final thing where he shows like the step, like the in concrete Charlie Chaplin doing his walk in concrete. It's like, well, that's very impressive. And then he goes, yeah, that's not real. Red Skelton bought this place. He pulled the original ones up and he took them. And then somebody, he gave them permission to, like, cast a mold off of them. So every time I hear Red Skelton, I think of some old man with giant concrete sheets of sidewalk in his house, like, with Charlie Chaplin's footprints in it. And he's just like, this is the real stuff. Not down in the lot. That's not real. The tramp did it on these. Nellie Mackay.
But have you ever gone to the Scientology Museum?
Well, I go like 3 times a week, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
What if I'm just like, yeah, you mean church? Like, and then suddenly you're like, what is this show?
It actually, you know, makes a lot of good points. I mean, there's that whole thing about, you know, it's hard to leave. Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, you know. They don't really need to oversell it the way they do with the fading to black and white and the strings coming up and the heavy music wherever you go and the kind of dark cavernous chambers and everything because, you know, I mean, you don't have to say much to make clear that pharmaceuticals are evil. I mean,
are you talking about the Museum of Psychiatry and Industry of Death?
That one, yeah.
That's actually the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. That's not a Scientology organization. I don't know. That word is not anywhere in the museum, so I'm not sure where you got that.
What is it called?
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights.
But sometimes you'll see some overlap of...
You can visit the grave of creativity there. And there's also a monument to Kurt Cobain that I'm sure his estate signed off on. Because he was using prescription drugs at the time of his death. So
fair enough. Mm-hmm. Look, I could flip a coin on this at this point. I slept 90 minutes last night. I could, if I went into something like that, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm cool. Like, where do I sign the thing? Like, I'm in a very susceptible state right now.
90 minutes?
Yeah, I know, right?
What are you doing? You staying up late or waking up early?
Both.
Oh, jeez.
I know, Joe Firestone.
Oh, jeez.
It's not easy being me.
It sounds not easy.
Ooh.
Are you have a troubled conscience?
Great question, Nellie.
Well, because actually, I mean, a lot of people who should, they don't. They sleep like babies.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that, too.
You weren't. You thought it, though. You didn't have the guts to ask it.
Well, what is it? What'd you do?
Of course I'm troubled. Right? I'll admit it. The end is nigh.
You should go see a psychic.
A psychic? What are they going to do?
They're going to help you be in control of your future.
A psychic?
Yeah.
Well, this is certainly not how I saw this show going. I can just say that right now. I did not envision this one in my... When I was dreaming about, when I had that 5 minutes of REM sleep, I didn't hit that this point, right? I did sleep in the back of a van today, though, if that's any consolation.
That is. You haven't sold out yet or you haven't succeeded in it?
I have, it's a little bit of both, maybe. On that one. So, you know what I want to do first of all? I told these listeners, if they have problems with the holidays, because the holidays are so troubling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what for you, Joe Firestone, is a holiday problem? Right? It's like...
Yeah. Everybody gets sad.
Right.
And everybody gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, everyone's carrying around big bags all the time.
Yeah.
On a personal level or in general, what I'm observing?
First thing that comes to your mind.
I don't really celebrate the holidays.
You don't?
So much. Okay. New Year's Eve I really hate. That's my least favorite holiday.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
What are you supposed to do on New Year's Eve?
Well, that is a holiday problem.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Any of these calls have problems?
Yeah.
Well, I know they all do. I know the people who listen to this show. What's a good one?
Three.
Did you meet Mike?
But I don't have any headphones, so you'll tell me what the problem is or make something up.
No, they'll say a problem and then we can help. Oh, yeah. Did you meet Mike out there?
Here we go. Sorry.
Nellie, did you meet Mike, the guy screening calls?
Oh, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, you would remember if you did.
Tacitly.
He was the guy with all these crushed Coors Light cans. Ah. Do you want anything to drink? Do you want water or something?
Oh, I'll have a beer.
Beer? We do.
I mean, you know.
Hey, Mike, would you beer Nellie? Beer her.
You're Joe, and what's your name?
It's Hayes.
Hayes.
I know it.
Does anyone tell you look a little like Buddy Epson?
Every day of my life, I can't walk outside without getting, oh, it's Buddy Epson. Oh, like he's
looking now. Like what era?
Well, that's funny. I mean, like, you know, like David Letterman, it's just a look. Are you a good dancer? I was thinking 1939, Four Girls in White.
That's exactly what they say.
They've never said.
No, I've never.
Four Girls in White era Buddy Epson.
I've never heard that before.
Well, you know what now, though? I think it's going to stick.
Oh,
cheers. Oh. I am a bartender.
Mm. Yeah, Mike is a bartender in Bayonne. Oh, thank you. That's good right there, Mike. That's good.
You could tell from the way he made that exchange that
yeah,
you know, he's a pro.
The way he waved the Coors Light can in your face.
Did he open it for you?
So, oh, dear. Yes, he's a gentleman.
Wow.
Opens your Coors Light.
He's very gentlemanly.
Yeah.
You should see
it. It opens itself when he holds it in his hand. That's
not, he's got that level.
It knows what to – the can just knows what to do.
It obeys Mike's. Mike has like a bond. It's like Minority Report or something.
Or
precogs.
He has a very specific like Magneto skill,
and he can pull like a can toward him.
Yeah, just the ring.
Yeah.
Goes up.
Was the Coors the brand that had the self cooling can?
Mike, the Blue Mountain on the front, I guess lights up when it's cold enough or something.
That's right.
Is that what it is?
Clever. Right. Very clever.
Let's see. What
I hope you were never disappointed by hoping for the can to cool itself.
Yeah,
your hand. You
have to take a little bit of initiative on that. Besho, you're on the air.
Здравствуйте, товарищ Шарплинг. How are you?
Wait, where?
Crocodile Gena from Board.
Is this what this guy was doing, Mike, when he called? No, so
what?
You're calling with the comedy routine that you're what now? What are you, Yakov Smirnoff?
No, this is funky. Do you want me to talk in real voice or fake voice? Or really fake voice? How are you? If I talk like this, perhaps? Or would you rather just me talk like this?
Sounds like my auditions.
Does it make you feel good, Tom, when the jokey caller
no,
gets the biggest
I
laugh from the guest?
No, I am from the board, sir. Guest, sir. I can't remember. You are...
What's going on, bro? What's the deal here?
I am Gennady the Crocodile. I am on the thought board.
Okay,
Mr. Sharpling of being a fan of the National Lampoon.
You accuse me of being a fan of National Lampoon?
Yes. Remember, we were talking about your magical little town and all the people in it, and I thought it was like you got any idea from O.C. and Stiggs.
I've never seen. I know the movie O.C. and Stiggs. I've never seen.
No, the magazine.
I didn't read that. How I'm not.
OC Diggs magazine?
Yeah. I don't read National Lampoon magazine. I don't know what to tell you. If I did, I would admit it. I didn't.
All right, well, then there we go. So what sort of exciting problems do you want us to have? The callers, that is.
Goodbye. You're bugging me. You're out. Oh. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Coop.
Coop. This is a guy, he's an artist, Coop.
Oh.
He draws, like, you ever see that devil lady, like, with, like, she's, like, in sexy bikini?
Jessica Rabbit?
No, not like Jessica. She looks kind of like Jessica Rabbit.
Oh,
Devil Girl is like her name. He draws that and other things. He's a very talented young man.
Oh, and why thank
I have a shirt.
You
Coop
do,
shirt,
oh.
right?
You have a Coop shirt?
Yeah. Wow. Didn't he do the Best Show
Coop
shirt?
Did the Best Show shirt in the Holiday Inn logo, the original That's Holiday Inn in Memphis. You ever see all the Holiday Inn stuff in Memphis, Nelly?
No.
Because that's where Holiday Inn originated. Oh. And there's a Holiday Inn there that you can stay in that is also a Holiday Inn museum. It's crazy. They have all the memorabilia because it's where it started.
Right.
So the owner brought all his stuff over at some point.
Right.
And turned the lobby into an actual museum of the history of Holiday Inn.
But, you know, the founder of Holiday Inn died from an overdose of prescription pills.
Whoa. He did?
Whoa. Yeah. Comes back around.
Yeah.
That museum's starting to not look so dumb, huh?
You know that there's more
museums. You're not laughing about that museum now.
There's more museums in the world, in the United States, than McDonald's and Starbucks combined.
There's more museums.
Yeah. Because there's little museums like the Holiday Inn Museum.
Yeah.
And they add up.
I guess they do add up, but.
But yeah. It's the cultural impact
of Starbucks and McDonald's.
Yeah. Because that news that runs the risk of making us feel better about the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Now, Coop.
Yes. Still here.
What's going on with you, bro?
Well, I had a little incident happen, and I thought that you might find it amusing, and I thought I would also get a little advice from you, perhaps, how to proceed with it.
Let's hear the incident.
Okay, well, a little background first, because of what I do as an artist. Sometimes people will use my artwork in movies and television shows, and then either before they do it, but usually after they do it, they get in contact with me to get clearance to use it, you know, because I'm the owner of the copyright.
Yes.
And this is this very regular thing. So I get this. Somebody tweeted at me, is that the proper, I'm not sure, that somebody sent me a tweet and said, I'm desperate to get in touch with you. I have to clear this image for a movie. Please respond to me. And so I sent her my email I think it was a woman, but for the purposes of our story, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I replied to this person and said, okay, what's the project? What's the image? Blah, blah, blah. And this person comes back and says, well, it's for Ricky Gervais's new movie, which is a movie about the character of David Brent that he played in The Office. Yes. And we use this image of yours in the scene, and we need clearance for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am of a similar opinion about Mr. Gervais as you, that while I've enjoyed his work in the past, I find him to be sort of an awful person.
Mm-hmm. He's a rough customer. Hard and to swallow.
Yeah.
Right?
That atheism stuff makes you mad, right?
Well, so not so much the atheism collar. As his obnoxiousness about it.
Yes.
But,
look, that's a weird thing. I get, that's the perfect example of it's not what you're saying, it's how you say it. Is that
exactly.
So but now you're boxed in because they're like, hey, will you sign off on this thing that we already used in the
Exactly.
Can you say no? You can't say no, can you?
Well, I mean, I could say no, and then see that's where the rub is, and that's where I wanted to consult with Mr. Sharpling about was see now I could say no and say I don't want you to use that. This guy's a jerk, and.
What kind of money? Did they give you a number? You don't have to say the number. Did they give you a number?
see, that's the first thing, is they did not mention a number, so they might come back and say, well, what if we paid you?
Well, then they should pay you. You got to say, you got to say, pay me, and then let them, first one who throws a number out in a negotiation is the loser. That is very true. Did you know that?
But first one.
If you say.
I'm also considering just making them suffer, because I know that what they'll have to do is go into some, you know, effects house and digitally, like, remove, you know,
it. Yeah.
Wipe it out or something, and that'll probably cost them way more money than whatever money I would ask for.
Well, then tell them you got to get paid and let them come up with the number.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. But, you know, it's just that classic thing of, I've had this happen before, where people that are very successful in show business are such jerks about taking care of
intellectual
people in
properties.
My situation.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Then get exactly. Now it's time to get that money, Coop. Get that money.
Yeah.
Tell them. You're going to pay me for that. And then let them come up with the number, and then you can just say, either they'll give you too much in your estimation, or they won't give you enough, and you just go, well, that's not enough.
Well, see, I was thinking about just telling her that I want Ricky Gervais to tweet a photo of himself holding a sign that says, I love Jesus or something.
Why don't you just take the money? It's all about money in this life, bro. Right?
Yeah, well, I know. You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
You know, when are we getting to the holiday part of this problem?
Oh, well, that's not really a holiday thing, except that it occurred over the holidays.
The Jesus thing.
Ricky,
well, the Jesus thing okay. is part
and
of
Ricky
that,
Gervais doesn't believe in holidays, so there
right.
is that.
Yeah, right.
I want right. you. This is what I want you to do. Just say,
okay.
Just say, you're going to have to pay for that, madam, and then let them figure out what their stand from there.
I think that's an eminently reasonable suggestion.
Yes,
you're a wise man, Tom.
Joe Firestone wants to say something.
Well, what's the harm or the foul in putting emotions into it? Is that a bad move in negotiations to say I'm upset?
Yeah.
At how late this is in the game. Should you just say the money. I just need money.
Just play it business.
In fact, that's
it's
actually very valid, because the woman kind of called me out on Twitter that I wasn't answering my email, and in fact she had never sent me an email.
Well,
so there is that. But
no need to put emotion in the mix.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
No. What, are they going to cry for you?
Yeah.
It's a company. Coop, this is what I want you to do. I'm not going to mention the amounts on the air, but you off the air are going to tell me all the dirty details of all this money, and I'm just going to get my thrills through how rich
you are. Oh, well, believe me, it'll be a paltry amount. It'll probably be less than they spent on catering that day. So
you'll get to buy your kid a diaper.
One diaper. So, it'll be some stocking stuffers for the kid, you know.
Well, your kid is cute.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. I think so, too.
I do, too. You got to see this kid. All right. Thanks, buddy. Look, happy holidays to you and everybody over there, and I will talk
happy
to you soon.
Happy holidays to you.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, you were starting to say, Nelly, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Ricky Gervais, I mean, you know, he does some good. I mean, it could be Jimmy Fallon.
It could be Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, Mike liked that one. You hear about it? That's the part of the show I keep. See, that's why I keep the door crack open, because I hear Mike go like, with his sinister laugh. We did a live show in Philadelphia over the weekend, and Mike came out dressed as Santa Claus at the end. And as Santa Claus, he gave the audience... from his bag, he gave them all the bootleg DVDs he buys.
You can still buy bootleg DVDs.
Oh, in Bayonne, you sure can. It's still $19.99.
Can I ask, how did Mike do on his headshots?
He did very well.
Did you see a piece of that?
No, that's all for Mike. I bought him headshots, and then he sold autographs, and then... I'm not going to say that he took care of the taxes with it, I'm sure. I'm sure he declared all of it. Sure he filled out a W-2 on premises.
It's taped to his stomach right now.
The W-2.
No, the cash.
The cash. Is it?
Yeah, that's where he's keep. That's where he's carrying it around.
He's like a. He keeps it in like a vest, like the dude in Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Like instead of those harmonicas, he keeps money in those little pockets.
That's how you should always travel.
Now, Nelly, you wrote a Christmas song. You wrote a Christmas song.
Oh, I did.
You've written plenty of songs, first of all.
Well, not enough.
Because you, for anybody who doesn't know, first of all, you are a singer. True or false?
True.
A songwriter. True or false?
True.
A multi-instrumentalist. True or false? That's true.
All right.
You play piano so well.
A big faker.
Like when you're playing piano, you're like,
a skiver.
Like, you know, some people, like, you watch them, like, play piano, and then they're just, like, going, like, ding, 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 ding. But, like, you're going, like, like, all over the place. It's like, whoa, she can actually really play piano.
Well, yeah. Well, I slept in a van today, too.
You slept in a van?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
It was a Forester. That's even worse.
Was it yours?
So it's not going too well with the multi-instrument, but thank you.
Yes. And you're also an actor?
Oh, yeah. Well, mostly in real life, sure.
And a stage performer.
And you? Oh, I think that is least of all, you know? I mean, don't you think that requires something? I mean, when you're in studio and you can futz with it, that's the thing. But to actually get out there in front of a crowd, I just panic.
I've seen you live. I went to see you in Montclair, New Jersey, a couple years ago with my friend Julie Klausner took me to see you. Oh. And it was so great.
Oh, she's very generous.
Yeah.
Well, and see where it gets her.
See? Well, she bought the tickets that night, so it got her that. That was her generosity.
Well, she's doing great. No, that's what, you know.
It's paid off.
That's what I mean, yeah. But to be miserly and answer questions badly. I just kept thinking of what's my line when you're asking that, and how people who would be on it twice, they would use the same fake voice, and how... You know, that was silly. That was all I was thinking about. Really.
You talk about Buddy Ebsen and What's My Line. You don't look 75 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You look very young.
Oh.
For your age.
Well, you too, you must work out.
Yeah.
When was the, when did you realize, Nelly, that you were interested in things that like that?
Buddy.
Like Buddy Ebsen movies and other kids were just like, yeah, I don't think we're going to watch that Buddy Ebsen movie with you.
Oh, well, I went to a party, I think, when I was about 7 years old, and they had on Fatal Attraction. Mm-hmm. And I got home. My mother couldn't believe it, you know, a seven-year-old party. She said, well, what did you think? I said, I felt sorry for the woman. And she said, oh, Mommy's a little feminist.
I'm looking at these pictures of Buddy Ebsen. I see it.
Can I see? Oh, yeah.
No, that's an older Buddy Ebsen. No, but a young Buddy Ebsen? Look, if you had on a tattered kind of Dust Bowl hat.
Yeah.
And you had a...
Patches on the elbows of my coat.
And a big, bushy, broom handle mustache.
A white one.
Well, no, then you'd be like Jeb from Beverly Hillbillies.
Uh-huh.
There's that era of Buddy Ebsen. But look, here's a young Buddy Ebsen. He's handsome, right?
Oh, I see it.
Yeah,
oh, right. Wow.
That's even approaching middle age. I mean, when he was a whippersnapper like you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Good you got long legs to run from all those fillies.
Look, look there.
Yeah,
that's
I see
like
it.
A good-looking guy, and Hayes is a good-looking guy.
The one...
You got a Halloween costume.
Yes.
Who'd you get, Joe, as a celebrity?
Sometimes I get like, Rachel Dratch sometimes I get, Amy Sedaris.
Oh yeah, right, right. Yeah, I think you've got your own aura.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Are you into psychics?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Money have you ever spent on one?
I don't want to talk about that.
No, me neither. Did you ever have the one that told you to bury the money in the park and then tell her where you buried it?
Oh, no.
Which, you know, if she was actually psychic, I didn't think about that until afterwards.
So, A psychic told you.
Yeah.
What you need to do, Nellie.
Yeah.
This will fix your stuff.
Yeah.
Bury the money in the park.
Yeah.
How much money? No, you don't have to. Okay.
Look, this is when I had a record contract.
Sure. And then you were just like, this is never going to end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The music business will live forever. And so then you buried some money in the park.
Right. And she gave me a magic wand to sleep with under my pillow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she complicated it, though, just enough, you know, like a guy. Okay. She told me to make a list of three things I wanted and to bury it with the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then she made you say exactly where it was buried?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she make you buy her a shovel also?
No, but, you know, it's kind of like... You know, when they do undercover, usually pretty, you know, serious documentary mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. about, say, people in the striptease business, you know, it's mm-hmm. like they're usually single mothers. There's usually a toddler that comes out from behind the curtain, and from beyond the curtain you can hear cartoons playing, and there's usually something frying on the stove, and it kind of kills the magic, but we hang in there, don't we, Joe?
Yeah, we do.
What's your best say? Say your psychic stuff, Joe.
I just got a reading that I think changed my life this weekend.
Really?
But it's not a really great story yet. I guess if it comes true, maybe.
Those are the best stories. That's Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah, we'll see.
So the psychic said to you to do what?
To take control of my life.
Good, right?
Yeah.
That's what the psychic said.
And the psychic also told me that I was going to get a cold this week. Also told me.
Yeah. Touch this door handle. Like the psychic said, you're going to get cold this week.
Yeah.
Now, eat this thing I sneezed on.
No, this is.
Right, here's some cheese doodles I sneezed all over.
The psychic told me.
Is that a beer?
Oh, God. First of all, Mike almost broke Nelly's ukulele, hurrying in with his Coors Light.
His is blue, though, the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
His skin is blue. That's when you know Mike's had enough Coors Light. His skin turns blue.
It's shown it's cold.
Yeah, that's when Mike has reached. The Coors Light has, like, filled all the way up to the top of his...
he's been frostbrewed.
Yeah. So the psychic said, take control.
Oh, the psychic told me that I was a visionary as well, and that I should take classes from her. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, in the coming year...
You're going to take some classes.
I might be taking some classes.
All right.
Yeah.
Look.
It's good to have a backup.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sounds like UCB. The UCB model.
Yeah.
Not enough to, like, get paid for the show. You know, you offer the classes as well.
Mm-hmm. You also got to throw in the... Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to bring to the table? Because... Like that, you know that Harvard thing, right? It's called, like, what is it called? Tasty pudding thing or something, right?
What is
Do you know that?
That?
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, icky custard.
Yeah, but that's like the Catholic Church, right? Like Harvard's been around forever.
Yeah.
You don't know who said this was the actual thing, right? I don't know. Someone before us did. Certainly it doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. But then, like, UCB Theater is like Scientology. Or Amway, right? Where it's kind of like, hey, here's the thing. You young kids want to get involved in this fun, cool thing, right? Sign up. And never leave.
Never leave.
Now, Nellie, you wrote a Christmas song. And what is it called?
Weed. All I Want for Christmas.
Weed.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you have your ukulele with you.
I have the
full produced thing we'll play later in the show.
Oh, thanks.
We'll play the full song.
Oh, please.
The way you want people to hear it, the studio recording.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with that ukulele?
Well, would you like to hear a more raucous one or a quieter one?
Why don't you do whatever you want to do?
Okay, I'll start with the raucous.
This dude, he is the dude who built the studio. I don't know if you ever heard Atlanta radio 15 years ago, you would have heard him. He was on. Which mic should I pop down?
Two. Actually, three and four.
Three and four. Pop two, three, and four down?
Just three and four.
Three and four down. But two is over there.
And two, yeah, two definitely just went out.
That's two. I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Do you want to borrow mine?
I'm going to borrow yours real quick.
Now, that's four. I can hear that. Do you want to use the headphones to hear this? Do you want to hear it? Hey, you've got a harmonica thing on. What do you call that thing?
Yeah, getting Nellie into her harness.
Getting Nellie into her harness.
Yeah.
It's like a Bob Dylan harmonica bracket.
Wilbur, yeah. Sorry, it's coming off. Sorry. Must be the Jersey weather. Here we go. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry.
This isn't live, is it? I should have known you'd bid me farewell. There's a lesson to be learned from this, and I learned it very well. Now I know you're not the only starfish in the sea. If I never hear your name again, it's all the same to me. And I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like a red rubber ball. Never cared for secrets I'd confide to you. I'm just an ornament, something for your pride. Always running, never caring, that's the life you live. Stolen minutes of your time were all you had to give. And I think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like the red rubber ball. The stories in the past with nothing to recall. I've got my life to live and I don't need you at all. The roller coaster ride we took is nearly at an end. I bought my ticket with my tears, that's all I'm gonna spend. And I it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like the red rubber ball. Think it's gonna be alright. Yeah, the worst is over now. The morning sun is shining like the red rubber ball.
Oh my goodness. That was awesome. That's the circle.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Dylan and Paul Simon united at last.
Yes, you brought them together.
Lovers.
That was awesome.
Oh.
So
is that off your album? I saw you have an album of 60s covers, right?
Yeah.
Is it on that?
It's on that, yes.
I bought it.
Yes, I didn't come on here to promote anything, though, not at all.
I did. I came on to promote that
you
album.
You actually bought it?
Yeah, I bought it on site.
Wow.
There's some great deep cuts on there.
You are Buddy Ebsen.
See? You didn't know it.
I'm starting to learn more about what Buddy Ebsen means to to Nelly.
Can floor. I ask every? I'm just yeah. because we were on that sub. Yeah. Can I just ask everyone's sign here?
Sure.
What's your sign, Joel?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh, you're a Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's a profitable sign.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. No, you'll get ahead in life. People like you. You okay. respond to people. Right. What's your sign, please?
Aries.
Oh, you're Aries. Oh, that's our problem.
Okay. I always get that.
What's yeah. the problem?
Whenever people ask me that, they go, "Oh, it's yeah. bad, huh?"
What's the problem?
Aries Hitler, Spears. Brando, Billie Holiday,
Aries Spears.
Yeah.
Right.
Three. Yeah, those are three so name them comparable Hitler, people for sure.
Brando, Billie Holiday, and Howard Keel for good measure.
Howard Keel, oh, Hayes Davenport.
Hayes.
Right.
What about you?
I am an Aquarius.
Oh, that's just the oh
the worst.
The
right?
worst.
You're the most likely to wind up in a mental institution.
Oh no, I know. Oh, that's happening. Yeah. Don't worry. I think I might be there right now. Actually, I think this is it. I think I built my own mental institution out of my pocket, and this is it. And I broadcast from it every Tuesday. I go to the mental institution now.
There are padded walls.
I go looking for there is padding on the wall. Well, how come hers is good and mine's bad?
Well, because I guess
so you mean just that there's nobody in the whole month of February. Everybody's just trash.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
It's true. It is anybody the whole month of February born, because Pisces gets even worse.
Anybody born in February is yeah. just a pile of garbage.
Yeah, yeah pretty much.
But what are you?
Well, I'm Aries too. I mean, you know, it's just, you know what? Yeah. We alienate people. But,
so
but
you're now, what are you?
Well, you might get along with people, yeah, but, you know, they're just, they're, it's a cold sign. Don't you find?
I don't know. I'm willing to learn about it, but I just got told I'm doomed. So I'm not exactly running toward this new thing.
Well, you're the kind of person that you know, cuddles up in a cold water flat on an army cot, and at 7 a.m. yeah. wakes your loved mm-hmm. one with mm-hmm. you know, the morning news on the radio, and then
oh boy, you're you have me pegged.
And then
you know about my cot.
Yeah. And says things, you know, just to wound and jab and joust, but is one of the lads, so has quite career success.
I don't think you could have you could not have identified me worse than that. Not be further away.
And then pretends
one of the lads.
A communist, a student of Brecht, and then goes to the Oscars and pisses himself when his category is announced. You know what I mean,
you brought it all the way back around. I feel like I'm looking into a mirror right now.
The student
now.
Of Brecht thing.
The student. You know I am such a student of Brecht. Brecht. Now I've just had the thing Brecht. What is Brecht now? You can think of Brock.
It's like a kind
candy.
Of hard candy. Yeah, yeah right? Brock's,
that's,
yeah.
That's actually what I put of Brock's hard candy.
That's a student as of Brock's hard candy.
I'm a student. Yes. I'm a student of Brock's hard candy. So your sign, Nelly, is what?
Aries.
A lot of birthdays coming up. What are we going to do?
Yeah, what are you guys going to do?
I guess commit suicide, sounds like, is the kind of thing that,
oh, no,
that
no,
we
I'll
like
just,
to get up to.
No, I'll just spend my days in here, though. Just trapped in this white room, banging on the walls, singing Red Rubber Ball. I'll be telling people, no, you should have seen it. There was a studio once. Had a thing. Everybody was here. Going to the phones. At least they like me on the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Melissa in Massachusetts.
Melissa from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Well, you're on with the Calvacade of Superstars.
I just heard Nelly's song. That was awesome. I loved it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. You know what Carrie Fisher said about her time with Paul Simon? It was short people, short marriage.
Are you excited about the new Star Wars movie, Nelly?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I could have. I was going to guess that also.
I'm going to stay home and still watch New York, New York in protest.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an endless protest.
Are they on opposite
the opposite
ends?
Of Star Wars?
They came out about the same time, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. They did battle at the box office.
Yeah.
Right.
And drink a Coppola wine.
Yes. You ever eat at his restaurant?
No.
In San Francisco?
No. But do you think, I bet there's a lot of vegan options.
They have, it's pasta.
Yeah.
You can always get that.
What's
spinach?
What's the Jack there? What do you get if you ordered the Jack?
The Jack?
He made the movie Jack.
Oh, well, when I go in there, I usually what do you say, good day, sir. I'd like to start with a... I'd like to start the conversation of me ordering this meal with, and then I say, I'll start with a rain people, please.
How's the youth without youth tonight?
It's what's the Jack? No, I think that's across the street.
But speaking of Jack, just because when most people say, you know, Jack, they think it may be Jack Daniels if you mm-hmm. order a Jack.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels sued a company named Popcorn Sutton. Popcorn Sutton was an Appalachian whiskey maker, a little mom and pop type operation, who later committed suicide. But Jack Daniels sued Popcorn Sutton Whiskey for having a bottle that looked kind of like theirs. So if anyone's listening, I would try to avoid Jack. I hate when they do that. That's such a Trump move. Mm. Or Friendly's. They did the same thing in my hometown.
Friendly's?
They sued a diner that was known as the Friendly Diner. Mm-hmm. So then everyone revolted and people put, you know, the Friendly Auto Repair and mm-hmm. the Friendly Dollar mm-hmm. Store and everything. But still in the end, you know, everyone in my high school, they started going to Friendly's and the Friendly Diner got put out of business. So I'll never go to Friendly's.
Friendly's is going out of business too.
Mm-hmm. Oh. See?
Oh, man.
They've been saying that for like 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been banging the drums saying they're going bankrupt.
A few of them are gone away.
Well, none too soon.
Kids don't like ice cream anymore, Joe.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Do you know that Friendly's...
They like MMA now. That's what they like. Mixed martial arts. They used to like ice cream. They don't like Fribbles anymore. You never had a Fribble?
Like,
what's a Fribble?
Clown Sundae?
Some dumb Friendly's thing. Just ice cream.
Some milkshake.
They just mash it or squish it in different ways, and they give it different names.
Fribble?
Yeah, the Fribble. I think that's what that is their milkshake, right?
Yeah.
They just call it a Fribble.
Mm-hmm.
They do a thing of Friendly's where they put every flavor of ice cream and every sauce in the same bowl. Mm-hmm. Guess how many scoops it is?
How many?
17 scoops.
17.
Five sauces.
There was a place when I was growing up as a kid called Farrell's Ice Cream on Route 18. And, man, I'm telling you, they had this thing called the Big Pig Award. And they brought it out as if it was, I swear, as if they were carrying. It was in a giant silver chalice filled with ice cream. And two guys carried it on like a stretch, as if they were carrying like a wounded body. And they would go, but they'd be wearing firemen's hats. And then they would set it in front of you. And I'm telling you, one third of my life was spent... The main goal I probably, like, my highest aspiration would have been to win the big pig, to eat that thing, and to, like, knock back the big pig. But then they went under. I never had the chance. When I finally was, like, an adult and I could have done it, it's taken away from me. My three goals in my life that I will never get to do, one, win the big pig award at Farrell's, it's gone. Two, ride the car in the Holland Tunnel. Remember they used to have those cars mounted to the side of the Holland Tunnel so the workers could zip through? You could still see the track. That's gone. And three would be to hang out with a chimp.
I think I know what we're doing for your birthday.
We're going to hang out with a chimp?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all,
the chimp I
feed you a tub of ice cream. And then push you through the Holland Tunnel in a shopping cart. And then I'd go to the zoo, I guess.
What if me and a chimp teamed up to win that big pig award?
Oh, man.
And we're both eating across from each other, like spoonful, like matching spoonfuls.
You
me
break
and a
the
chimp,
internet.
Right?
Did they put
polarized of you when you ate the Big Pig Award on the wall?
Yeah, that was probably next to the thing for people who skipped out or bounced checks, like the same wall of just it's the larger wall of shame that they could just be like, some people on this wall should be ashamed that they stiffed Farrell's for bouncing a check. Others should be ashamed because they ate 4.5 pounds of ice cream in one sitting.
I have a name for your you and a chimp eating ice cream movie.
What's that?
Every Which Way But Loose Belts.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
what's that?
Oh, I Sorry? Was just...
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to paraphrase George Carlin and say, we live in a country where you can have 17 choices of ice cream, but only 2 choices for president.
Yeah. That's true. Very true. We have more choices than 17
yeah,
with ice cream, though.
That, probably.
You ever been to a Cold Stone Creamery? I've never been in one of those things. I look in, though. You tell me you're not worried those dudes mashing that ice cream with their bare hands. There's got to be a fair amount of arm hair getting in that ice cream. They're, like, punching that thing. It's like they lay this ice cream out, and then it's basically guys going... with their bare fists. It's like they're boxing the ice cream, and then they give it to you. It's like, that seems like what they would do before they throw out the ice cream. Somebody would punch it to say, like, this ice cream's no good.
Yeah, punch
let
it down, guys.
Let that weird dude beat it up for a while. Then we're throwing it out, obviously. Then they.
But, Tom, have you ever been to New York System in Providence, Rhode Island?
No, I haven't.
They make Coney Island style hot dogs, and that's one place the guys, like, the big sweaty dudes, and they just, like, line up the hot dogs on their arms, mm-hmm. like, as they make them, and then they serve them to you, like, off of their bare arms.
That's terrible.
It's really disgusting.
That's very disgusting. Don't eat that garbage. You're better than that. Right?
Now, no, I don't. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's you know, there's nothing really wrong with, I mean, arm hair or testosterone, you mm-hmm. know, or sweat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, you know, we're all just little monkeys, you know, and, yeah. And you know, it can build your immunity at the very yeah. least, you know, and all that. But it's the suffering, you know, that goes in the animal products, you know.
Yeah.
Most people have a kind of vague sense about. You know, if that was all soy ice cream being pummeled,
yeah.
or you know, soy, or you know, it could be some other kind of protein. It doesn't yeah. have to be soy, but you know,
coconut ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people assume, you know, if you care about animals, you have to be healthy. Not so.
Where do you stand on an animal being forced to hang out with Tom?
It's pretty up there.
Me.
No, not you. Making fun of me.
I can't hear Nellie.
No, you're lovely.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Bye. I'm being told I have a there's this guy who does concert reports for me.
Uh-huh.
He actually is calling in with one now. So I'm going to just do that. I'm going to talk to him for a couple minutes, okay?
Okay.
And then we'll all pick it back up for a second. Just, you know, I mean... How much do you know New Jersey? Do you know New Jersey well and all?
New Jersey, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I grew up a little bit in Weehawken. Are you still talking to me?
Yeah, of course.
What happened to the guy doing the concert report?
Well, I'm going to talk to him in a second. I'm going to introduce him now.
Okay.
All right. I mean, because it's a big night in New Jersey tonight, in Newbridge, New Jersey, which is where I'm actually from, at the Newbridge Arena for the Popular Recording Arts, which is the NAPRA. Taylor Swift is actually doing a show there now. And is finishing up the encore. And we have Toby Rafelson on, who is the Best Show concert correspondent. Toby?
Hi, Tom. Oh, my God. What a night this has been. Taylor Swift has been showing the 20,000 fans here just why she is the most successful performer out there. She took the stage with 1989's I Knew You Were Trouble, and what has followed is a masterclass on showmanship this town hasn't seen since Marty Balin's incendiary set at 1992's Muffler Mania Meltdown. She's given every one of her hits a workout, and brought an energy to the Napra that hasn't been felt since Dennis DeYoung's Mary Stixmas extravaganza almost 10 years ago today. Oh, she just now finished up Bad Blood, and I can't wait to see what tops this. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, what a show. The staging here is something to behold, Tom.
Uh-huh. Toby?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I wish you were here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Look, thanks. I wish I was there, too. Yeah, can I just ask you something?
Sure.
And this is going to sound weird, but are you there?
What? What do you mean?
No. I mean, are you at the Taylor Swift show?
Why do you ask? What an odd question.
Well, it's not.
Of course I am.
It's not that odd, because when the song finished, it just was weirdly quiet. There was like no audience sound or anything. And you said there's 20,000 people there?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's very respectful.
So 20,000 Taylor Swift fans, like all young girls and boys, all remained deathly silent after their favorite singer finished one of her biggest songs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the kids of Newbridge are really living up to that title of 14th best behaved city in the tri-state area. That's
uh-huh.
for sure.
Uh-huh. Well, Toby, can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Why is there no more music playing now?
Oh, my God, here she comes again. Hang on.
Wait. Uh-huh. Wait, what was that? That sounded like a YouTube. That sounded like a... Hey, Toby?
Oh, here she comes. Here she comes again.
No, Toby.
No, here she comes.
That sounded like a commercial on YouTube before the song plays. Like you had to wait 5 seconds for it to let you click through.
Who did?
You.
No, I didn't. What? You're full of beans. What are you talking... What are you on tonight?
Toby, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing there.
I'm just telling you what's going on here at the arena. It's very exciting stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, are you at the Taylor Swift show or not, Toby?
Okay, okay, Mr. Nosy Noop. I'm not at the show, okay?
Uh-huh. Why are you not at the show?
Because I did the tongue between the fingers thing at her press conference today, and they took away my passes. Are you satisfied?
Oh, and he hung up. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Toby Rafelson with the concert report. What do you think of that, Hayes Davenport?
I think it's gross that he did that.
Yeah, that's on the whole, that's a pretty despicable.
I think that's on him.
Now, Joe Firestone.
Yeah.
Dr. Game Show, it's your radio show. It's on every Monday night on WFMU. Mm-hmm. Joe Firestone does a really funny show where she's the host of a series of game shows that change every week.
Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying being on the radio now in that role? Because usually you're the funny one. Now you're the host. You're holding it down. You're the ringleader.
I feel like I'm not. I feel like I don't. You know, Tom, you have this power and control. You know.
Well, look, I am an Aquarius. First of all,
you are an Aquarius, and it's clear in your radio. You know what I mean? But I'm. I feel like I lose control every Monday.
First, let me show you some of the news. I'm going to show you some bad stuff that's going on in the news.
Okay.
That's what Nelly said I would do. Would be to prod you and show you bad things. Is that what I do?
You're just one of the lads.
Is your real name Jeffrey?
No, it's Thomas. I'm going to show.
That's what he said.
She got you.
It did get me. Fair enough. Guilty as charged. So there's a whole month of nothing but bad people, is what you're saying. Like, why don't they just do something about it then in, like, the maternity? Why don't they just... For the month of February, why don't they move the maternity wards out to like a boat and then just like sail, get out of America, you Aquarius babies. Right. You're only going to bring the country down.
Maybe it's a problem with conception times.
Mm-hmm.
When would you have to be conceived if you were born in February?
Who could figure that out? I don't know how anyone could possibly figure that out. When would that be?
What do you think? 2 minus, and you're pregnant for 9 months.
Seven or nine?
Five.
What is it?
It's May.
It's a 3-4. It's a May. Yeah.
May.
A May conception.
Mm-hmm. So the whatever's going on in the month of May. So
school's
what is
out.
That?
School's
college
out. Yeah.
Is out.
College is out.
Yeah.
Spring.
Yeah. And maybe everybody's excited that like a new Spider-Man movie's coming out, right? Because they tend to come out in May, right?
A lot of Mother's Day babies as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And when is Aries now?
It's March.
Uh-huh. Oh, March.
It was April for me.
End of March, beginning of April.
Okay. End of March, beginning of April.
Yeah.
And then after that comes Taurus.
Oh, Taurus is the best sign.
It is?
Yes.
Really? Can you hold your mic up higher?
Yes, the gentle bull and the frisky ram get along very well.
Okay. Which one is Tarkus, though? Which astrological sign is Tarkus? Oh, wait, no, that's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer was the Emerson, Lake, and Palmer had an album called Tarkus, which was about a mechanized armadillo that fought. that fought, I don't know what it was fighting. But it certainly was a very long song on that one album called... Did you ever see a Tarkus, Nelly? I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Look at this. Imagine you're back in the village, right?
Mm.
And all of a sudden this thing comes rolling at you, right? That's the cover of an actual album that an actual band put out. And then do you know what America said? I'll buy one of those. Like millions of kids were just like, yes, please. How much? $4.99 for the LP? Mecca's got a machine barrel pointing out. Maybe I am a bad person. Maybe I just am bad, right? What, should I just walk into the Hudson? What about that? Maybe this is it, right?
Yeah.
Nelly made me. I'll take your uke, hit myself over the head with it a few times until I just fall backwards into the Hudson, and it'll just be like me and another weird New York story, right?
Yeah. But are you friends with David Byrne?
Am I?
Mm.
Why, is he planning on doing the same thing? Are we doing this in tandem? We're going to hit each other.
I think Nelly is. I think this is.
His friends have, yeah.
He'd hit himself over the head with a bicycle, though, probably, right? He'd pick his bike up and start beating it, like flagellating himself with his own bike on the pier.
You know how my mother would like to die is she wants to have rabies. And then we'd be like, hey, man, do you know what happened to Robin? And be like, well, man, what happened to him? She's had rabies, man. She's had rabies, man. Rabies, man.
Now, you grew up all over the place. You've bounced all over the globe.
Yeah.
You lived in, well, you said Weehawken. For a little bit.
Yeah, Weehawken.
But you also, where else have you lived?
Queens.
Queens?
Yep. Brooklyn.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
There's
we're really globetrotting Staten now.
Staten Island.
Where will we go next? Climb aboard the hot air balloon.
The hot air balloon flying over the Barrasana Bridge. But you've been further away than three of the boroughs.
I don't know who you've been talking to.
Talking to...
Oh, I was on the Amy Mann Christmas tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was so much fun.
Yes, I met you then.
Oh, that was it. Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
Yeah.
And then I re-met you, and now I'm re-meeting you. And you'll never forget, because I'm the bad... I'm the poisonous monster who's going to... beat himself with your ukulele. You're going to be like, hey, where'd my ukulele go? There's a piece of it floating in the East River.
Oh, see, now it's the East River, so you do know. You know what I was talking about.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for asking. This is Chuck in Atlantic City.
Chuck in Atlantic City. Which casino are you calling from?
Oh, well, they're all closed down now. I had to go home.
They're not all closed down.
Well, give it a couple of years. Anyway, I wanted to first say thanks for coming to Philly. It was a really good time on Sunday.
That was fun, right?
Yeah, the Dead Milkman, that was a fun surprise.
That was nuts.
Yeah, it was very, very good, and hopefully you guys come back sometime.
I think we will. Did you buy an autographed photo of AP Mike out in the lobby?
They're sold out.
Well, I know that's not true, because I bought 300 of them for that clown. And so I'm still leaving with a giant bundle under his arm. And also, if he sold 300 of them at 10 bucks a pop, I'd never hear the end of it. $3,000, be waving that $3,000 in my face. It'd be like a bad Bruce Springsteen song, right? Hey, I sold autographed photos across the Philly line. Right? Be AP Mike, his meeting across the river, whatever that song is.
Hey. Well, I think at some point they kicked him out of the lobby and he ended up hustling in the parking lot.
That's not true either. See, you're a fantabulist, and I don't like it. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Dan in Plymouth.
Plymouth? Where's Plymouth? Massachusetts?
Plymouth, Massachusetts. I'm looking at Provincetown right now.
What are you, a hitman? Was it in your scope?
No,
you're menacing the way you said that. Well, what's your holiday question? What do you need help with for the holidays?
I'm wondering how many cookies is appropriate to put out for Santa. That's part A, and then I have a part B as well.
Let's field part A.
Are they magic cookies?
Okay.
Are they magic cookies?
No. They're gingerbread, chocolate chip, and the ones that look like an eight. My grandma used to make them. I don't know what they're called.
I just like the idea of someone approaching him and being like, this is an inappropriate number of cookies. Like,
like Santa's
this is
like,
this is wrong. You need to...
Like Santa would
you should
be
go.
Like, I'm out of here. Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up question? One.
I'm so sorry. I got to know how big is your plate.
I think that diameter is 12 inches.
Oh, well, that's right? A lot.
Around?
That's
going
to
be a lot of cookies.
I would put out all because, I mean, unless you have an objection to leftovers, you can have any leftover. And if Santa doesn't eat all of them, he'll feel really good about his figure.
Okay.
I think Nellie's 100% right on this.
Yeah, listen, I haven't had it explained to me that well, so I appreciate that.
Oh, thanks.
So if you...
There's
three types of cookies, right?
Yeah.
Leave one of each out.
The gingerbread and the chocolate chip. All right.
What was the other one? Gingerbread, chocolate chip, and what?
Figure eights.
It's shaped like an eight.
Uh-huh.
It's made with like star anise, and they put like little rainbow sprinkles on
the
top.
Sure, that's
not
infinity?
Infinity.
Oh,
right?
It could be infinity if you turn it the other direction.
Your grandma's not doing some
weird
infinity thing. Right?
It's like a snake eating its own tail on the cookie.
Exactly.
You ever really talk to your grandmother, man?
Right? Yeah.
Those are infinity cookies.
Yeah.
You call them figure eight, stupid. I'm trying to explain the secrets of the universe to you, you dunce. So you leave one each out, and then Santa can eat whatever he eats. And what's the follow-up question?
The follow-up question is how Santa unwinds. How you think Santa unwinds after the whole night going out delivering the packages.
This is like hashtag wars. This is holiday hashtag wars.
Yeah. What? I don't know.
Santa, hashtag Santa vacation.
I think he watches one of three movies. It's Pat the Movie, one of the best films to watch.
Uh-huh. Charles Rocket.
If he gets any of those magic cookies on the way home, that's a good one.
And Ween is in that.
Yeah. Ween is in
it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ween. Oh.
And it was
they hide at a Ween concert. They're trying to escape Charles Rocket.
I remember that. And then another one is Pee Wee's Christmas Spectacular. It has Katie Lang and Annette Funicello. And who's the guy who's always with Annette Funicello?
Frankie Avalon.
Frankie Avalon. You know, and he always made a way to kind of make him look stupid for the adults, you know.
Sure.
And he has, I think, the Canadian Ranger Chorus or something.
Okay.
Anyway, that's another good one if he has some magic cookies. And then maybe he watches Cowspiracy, which is a good movie about animal agriculture and climate change.
Okay. So it's either...
Those are my votes. Maybe he binge watches all three.
Now I know what to expect when you curate a film festival. It'll be like Nellie Mackay's film festival. 2 o'clock, Cowspiracy. 4 o'clock, Pee Wee's Christmas Spectacular. 6 o'clock, it's Pat, the movie.
And an 8, Buddy Ebsen in person.
And then meet Buddy Ebsen lookalike. It's Pat was punched up by Quentin Tarantino. He did punch-up work on that movie.
No.
Yeah. He really did. He helped out. He was friends with Julia Sweeney, and he helped. He punched up the script. Oh. I'm being told here that I'm being called a friendly skeptic. That the fribble has the flavorless base is the secret. The fribble.
Shh, don't tell. We use a flavorless base. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call.
Thanks, man.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is John from Portland.
Portland, Maine or Oregon?
Oregon.
Okay.
Has it ever been Maine?
It has a couple times. Okay. I just don't want to roll over and reflexively, when somebody says Portland, say, yes, Oregon, of course.
I'm not going to pretend to be the Portland.
I wish they would just say Portland, Oregon.
But there's a lot of places like that. Like, mm-hmm. You could be like, I'm calling from Paris. And they're like, mm-hmm. Where's your Paris? Which Paris? France? Paris, Texas? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But did you feel we were over? Because I kind of jumped in there with that last guy who called in, you know, from Massachusetts. Do you mm-hmm. think, did he want your or one of you guys' imagination?
No, I think you trumped whatever I could have said or anybody else in here could have said.
All right.
Now you, from Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
What can we do for you tonight?
Well, Tom, a couple of weeks ago you were talking about the movie It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yes.
And you posed the idea of remaking that movie every now and then with the comedy luminaries of that age.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what if I told you that in 2001 they did just that?
Yeah, Rat Race.
Yeah.
I know that.
Okay. Then we're on the same page.
No, but they
think Tom doesn't know Rat Race?
Yeah.
What?
Go wrote Rat Race, created Monk.
Really?
Yeah. Gave me a job.
I would say you don't even need a personal connection to that movie to know about it.
No, but I'm just saying that's how I could have known. I would know that up, down.
Oh, yeah.
But imagine,
every which way.
What if he blew your mind right then? You're like, what is that movie?
Wait a minute. There's another movie where everyone's chasing after a thing. No, I'm saying literally it should be a thing where the entertainment industry decides that It's a Mad, 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 Mad World needs to be remade every 10 years so that mm-hmm. it can be like a document of all the people. Of course you got Midnight Madness and Rat Race. I'm saying it the way Suge Knight said at the Source Awards when he's like, you want to get your record produced. You don't want the producer being up in the video. Then he was like, come to death row. Suge Knight. He's going to beat the rap. That's why I'm talking nicely about him. I still believe he's going to beat this rap one final time. And he's going to come looking for anybody who thought that he was done. Right?
I like this guy's premise that the comedy luminaries of 2001 were John Cleese,
mm-hmm.
Rowan Atkinson, Breckin Meyer, Amy Smart.
Wasn't Whoopi Goldberg in that?
Oh, yeah.
You were going to say Wookie Goldberg because you have Star Wars on the brain.
That's good. That wins a hashtag war.
Yeah,
that would win. You'd win.
Comedy luminaries, Star Wars.
Points.
Didn't you do that one?
We did do that.
You
actually.
Did that exact one.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
I don't know.
You know what I want to play right now? I want to play Nellie Mackay's new record, Weed, All I Want for Christmas. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Now what, how, pray tell, did you come up with this song?
Well, I guess you can figure that out. My parents make me cookies.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about it, you know, how lucky I am and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you You filmed a video for it also.
Yeah, we filmed a video, but we haven't put that in the tags yet.
Okay.
So people probably, you know, all these millions of listeners are going to run out to watch the video. And they might put in weed, that's all I want for Christmas. So if you could just put out weed, all I want for Christmas, or weed, you could put my name.
Yeah.
You know, then you'll find it. But just to try to not... You can't tell people what not to do, though, because people don't hear the not they hear to do. So just if you can just do weed all I want for Christmas. Yeah, but so it was fun. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And it's you running around, you dressed.
I'm so stupid. Yeah.
What did you dress up as?
You know that movie you did? I love that movie. I'm so stupid. I'm sorry. The movie we just did.
Yeah, you don't remember that movie?
I don't. Maybe I am losing my mind. Oh, the walls are closing in.
What
if it was just like I was just in here hanging out with my friends doing a radio show, and then there's people watching through a thing. I'm by myself.
Yeah.
This is just like a toilet paper roll.
Yeah.
And I'm just.
Or what if you've just finished winning the Big Pig Award? Like everything since then has been like a Jacob's Ladder style.
I finished the Big Pig Award. Went into ice cream shop, and then everything is just a giant. It's a giant fantasy. So, I don't know what movie you're talking about, Nelly.
Oh, I
don't think I ever made one.
Oh, I was doing something.
Okay, wait, what were you doing?
The Chris Farley when he
saying
that was so much fun. That was so great. And he says he's so stupid.
Yeah,
but look, I forget what your last question was.
I've seen pictures of you with green face paint on.
Oh, yes, that's in the video, yes.
And that's you in the video dressed as what, weed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say this.
Weed loves the fairy.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, no one's ever asked you to bury weed in the park and then told you where to do it, right?
I may be dumb, but I ain't stupid.
I'm going to say this.
Mm.
AP Mike out there. Probably didn't know two things about you, who you are. The music he likes, the stuff he likes. He likes Bob Dylan.
Mm.
He likes the Grateful Dead.
Mm.
And what else does he? He likes Bruce Springsteen. Those are the things he likes. But I'm going to say this. You can add at least one more fan to your total. This guy now, you're talking, you're drinking Coors Light. You've got a song called Weed, All I Want for Christmas. Your top fan might be outside that door right now.
And these windows open. Jeffrey, may I just ask you, because part of this song is about the criminal justice system. What is Suge Knight, I'm ignorant, what is he in prison for?
He ran a guy over in a parking lot. He killed someone with his SUV, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And what's your take on that, you think?
I would say generally I think it's not I think the legal system should go after anybody who runs people over.
And they do. That's why Dick Cheney's in prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I know it's not that. I'm not conflating it to that.
Right.
Why are you conflating it? Why are you defending Dick Cheney, Tom?
I'm saying there is video of the guy literally flattening this dude.
He backed up.
Yeah, he backed up over him.
Mm. Well, he probably saw Serial Mom.
He probably did see Serial Mom.
He's got a bad influence on most murderers.
I'll say this. If Suge Knight went on the stand and he said, what can I say? I watched that movie Serial Mom like 15 times. I'd be like, I think this is a mistrial. At least a mistrial.
Yeah. He's a huge Waters guy.
Yeah, later period.
Pecker. Loves Pecker. Yeah.
A dirty shade. Like he likes all the other stuff.
What's a dangerous woman? Is that one of them?
Cecil B. Demented.
Yeah, a dangerous woman.
Dangerous women.
No, that's I think you're thinking of John Cassavetes.
I heard Patti Smith was on the jury. I mean Hearst. I always get those two confused.
Patti Hearst was the big John Waters fan. Patti Smith. I had a bad run in with Patti Smith the year started. You don't want me to say it. Look at that. You know the story. You don't want me to say it. See, you got to hear it.
Imagine. I've never been in person hearing it. Yeah. It's not even
okay.
Tough.
We'll get ready for this.
Did you? Yeah.
I'm in San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? I'm at a hotel for a couple days doing a thing at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and then at this hotel, I notice, oh, there goes Patti Smith. She walks by, and then I see her a second time, and I see her a third time, and then the fourth time I see her, I'm like, I'm with my friend, and I say, I'm going to go say something to her. She goes in the elevator. I go right in with her, and I say to her, man, how you doing? Because she was just playing the Fillmore, so I ask her, how are the shows going? She's like, oh, they're good. They're long, but it's fun to do. And then I'm like, I'm going to drop the coolest question on her she's ever heard in her whole life. And I say to her, did you ever see the band Humble Pie back in the day? Because I heard they were pretty smoking live or something to that effect. And then the look of absolute terror on her face with my weird question was palpable. And she got off on a floor that I don't think was her floor. And I think she probably went out on the fire escape to get up to her actual floor. She actually probably went outside the building to get away from me. So when you say Patti Smith, it's like I get like PTSD at this point. Mm. It's like, I mean, it's like, it is, it's like combat for me.
But that you didn't do it. You're so innocent. I thought you didn't.
Thank you.
I thought you did the tongue thing.
Thank you. The tongue thing? No. Wouldn't do that. I asked her a question. I was trying to come up with a question where she just got like.
She'd probably have reacted better.
Better, yeah. Next time.
Next time.
You know those villagers, those Naderites. As one, I can
I want to play this record of yours.
Okay.
I'm so excited. Where can people get this, by the way? It's unavailable anywhere, true or false.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, we put it on the website. Okay. People remember those. It's like okay. A CD. So you can go to a website. But you know, most
you
of
hate
the
internet, don't you?
Yeah.
You hate it.
Except for Buddy. Pictures just keep coming.
All right. We're going to listen to this, and we'll come right back after hearing Weed, All I Want for Christmas by Nellie Mackay. You guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Weed. It's all I want for Christmas.
Weed.
The cradle of good cheer. Perfect part of this bliss every Christmas day of the year comes love. I'm on a rocket ship to nowhere. I got a pocket full of miracles. Ain't got no bad sweetheart. Up on a farm of folk important. We got a spherical, lyrical, mystical, chimerical temple of content.
Sideways, trying to make my way. Anybody up in the club, tip to your face. It's that time again, hoping Uncle Jitter and Stitter and a bell man. Bitch, take a chill pill. We got perspective, sweet remove. Let's get high.
It's a stone groove.
Little doggy, slow it down, slow it down. Sour Willie Nelson and a slow for Brown. Go to town, every race, place your faith in the mantra. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, don't forget Kwanzaa. Let go ambition, nothing but friction comes from the conviction that your depiction of yourself requires a man attention feast. Least of all, in a separate the street release. Stuffing deep in the belly, not the belly's beast. You want to strive for humankind to finally see. Stop being sublime on the peaceful leaf.
It's all I want for Christmas. The cradle of good cheer. The perfect part of this bliss. Every Christmas day of the year. One love. We'll let a kerchief cover our scars. With every demon picture inside you. Unchain my heart. But we're climbing every silvery stair. And I'm scared and lost. Never been so good as an unfamiliar tale.
Carter always gotta play the mod. Wanna get Barack Obama, I'm a pardon in the marijuana. Tuscarora, Triple Gold, Intifada, or Donata. Put a fatwa on your father if it can't be fucked to bother. the profits while the victims doing time. Every mile I brown eyes, small fry, fall guy. Letter from the DI, crawling up the crack pipe. Cut down in your prime. Minimum to life. Do a lie and get a fine. Must because you're live. Native trust, paradise past. Take a puff, deport your ass.
Yeah, bet I did. And I enjoyed it.
White boy who deployed more pot of rest than any had before for single pot possession. 40% of prison penitentiaries are on a pot-related charge. Charges solely based on weed. These are prison afflictions of the non-addicted. Fuck the brick, vote flipping and the prohibition. Schedule 1
has got to know.
THC to cannabidiol. We're the largest jailer of literal slaves. But today's the day, breaking up the gates where the black, Puerto Rican, Asian, Jamaican.
Y'all like a more big up pieces of that.
What you be talking around rainbows in?
It's all I want for Christmas.
We
cradle of good cheer.
We
a perfect part of this bliss. Every Christmas day of the year
comes love.
It's all I want for Christmas.
One way.
All smoke pot for Christmas. Every Christmas day of the year.
That was awesome.
Ooh. Oh, so good.
Oh, well, Maurice.
Weed.
Maurice, Jay Cox and the New Standards. It's Minneapolis, man. That's where it's at. I shouldn't say that, though. Don't go there.
Don't go. So that's where it's at, but don't go there.
Right.
I think, is she talking to you specifically, maybe?
The thing about gentrification is even if you can afford to stay in your neighborhood, barely, the fact that all the mom and pops you know and love and the people mm-hmm. you know and love have disappeared make you feel displaced in your own community, and I don't want to do that to them.
I know, because like...
Cause this show has influence.
The friendlies are going out of business, Nellie.
They're being displaced.
Pop, the mom and pop friendlies. Where are kids going to get a Reese's Pieces Sunday? Where, I say.
They'll have to make it themselves.
They'll have to drop their own Reese's Pieces on top of a Sunday.
Start smashing it with their own kid arms.
What was the percentage, the 40% line in the song?
Oh, 40% of people in prison are on a pot-related charge or charges solely based on weed.
It's wow. a good song. I learned a lot from it.
Oh, thanks.
I think it's going to be playing on the speakers at Macy's any day now. It's the season for that.
You know, not Macy's, but Masses. The bar, Mike Bartens.
Oh, wow. Well, do you have fries? Because get the munchies pretty bad.
We're having a party on Thursday.
Oh, great.
What's the sound system like in Massachusetts? Is it a car parked outside?
They open the door. They open the door to Massachusetts, and someone just backs up onto the sidewalk. No, Massachusetts. Are you kidding? It's state of the art there.
Where's Massachusetts?
It's in Bayonne. It's a bar. Mike works. He bartends on weekends there on Sundays, and listeners to the show will come in. And see, the thing about Mass is it's like an old man bar, kind of like, it's like that song Piano Man by Billy Joel crossed with like jail. So it's like, that's what Mass is like.
You should write a Yelp review.
Yeah. Now.
You know who writes those is Todd Barry.
He writes Yelp reviews?
Yeah. And he uses funny pseudonyms.
Uh-huh.
You should have him on the show and talk to him about it.
I've had him on so many times.
Oh, you have him. Okay.
He's an old pro at this show.
But he uses pseudonyms, then he writes good reviews of himself.
That I could.
Does he like you talking about this?
Yeah. Hayes and I went to a basketball game.
I'd prefer you didn't.
Okay. Well, next
of course you can talk about the basketball game.
Are you a player?
Yeah, he does. He plays small forward for the Brooklyn Nets. We went to a Nets game, the Brooklyn Nets, the pride of Brooklyn. Brooklyn's not doing so well now, apparently, if that's the pride of Brooklyn. This team is terrible, right? You go to these games, and they don't win. The Nets always lose. But we're at the game, right? And then the Nets are, like, coming back. And then they're all only, like, three down. And then the whole arena, and first of all, we were sitting in the all-you-can-eat section.
It's a nice section.
It was a pretty good section. It was nice. The food was much better than I thought it was going to be.
They have good food at Barclays. Was it at Barclays?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have good food there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're there. Then Nets come back. Then the whole place erupts. And then we look at the Jumbotron, right? And the camera's panning across. And then there's a dude, and we both kind of looked at each other. And I think you said it first. You're just like, that dude looked like Morgan Spurlock on the Jumbotron. You know Morgan Spurlock? Yeah. He did...
Fast Food Nation.
Yeah. So then...
Oh, he must get Fast Food Nation all the time. he must hate it so much.
He did Super Size.
Oh, no.
Oh, you've killed him.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. He's gone forever.
Wait, but then he did that other one where he was sponsored. He did the sponsor one, yes.
Okay. And then he was banging these thunder sticks, which are these, like, inflatable things that go... Imagine, like... What's the effect? Rubbing styrofoam? Almost?
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what it is.
Because it's like, like it makes it just a thumping. It's overinflated.
Yeah.
Kind of mylar balloons.
Two of them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They come in pairs.
Yes.
What's the sound of one thunderstick?
That's a very zen.
There's only one thunderstick. Does it make a noise?
Yes. If a thunderstick falls in the woods and Morgan Spurlock isn't there to pick it up. Did it truly fall?
Was it Morgan Spurlock?
So then they show him again, and it's like, yeah, that's Morgan Spurlock, right?
Wow.
So then, like, I tweeted this dude. I go right on Twitter. I know you hate the internet.
So this is how you in quotes, you network?
No, I was going on.
This is how Tom networks.
No, this is how Tom goofs around. I just go
Jumbo
on.
Jumbotron network.
And so I'm like,
hey, man,
I'm like,
what are you working on?
Look, it's all business. It was a Saturday afternoon. I'm like, I could still maybe close a deal here with this guy on a Saturday. So I tweet at him. I say, like, are you at the Nets game? If so, nice thunderstick work. And then Hayes spots him. I couldn't find him in the crowd. And he goes, there he is. And he's holding his phone up at his wife now and laughing.
Big smile.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look what somebody tweeted at me.
So, and then Morgan Spurlock. The next thing I look, Morgan Spurlock is following you on Twitter. Following is when you decide to, like, subscribe to somebody's feed.
How can you deal with all those people? How does it come up in the morning?
You don't.
Yeah. You don't really.
You do as much or little as you want of it. I don't do any of it. I don't read what these maniacs write.
So you follow them for, again, of course, networking reasons.
I follow them. I used to read what they say, and now I don't read it anymore.
You don't read any of it.
I just read if they write something about me, I'll check it out. But I don't want to read somebody saying, moaning, what are they going to say? Ted Cruz sucks. Oh, really? Okay. Well, we write that down. His news report just came in. Ted Cruz sucks.
Tell your lads.
Yeah.
Has Morgan Spurlock got...
my lads. I caught that. You believe it, because you're like an astrology hound, too.
I'm a student of astrology. Yeah. I'm a student.
Or an astrology hound. I think you guys call yourselves... You guys call yourselves... It's like when I'm reading Brecht, often, I'll say to myself... I'll say, when I'm reading Brecht with the lads. The lads. Where did that come from?
And someone asks you to write a love poem, and it's all about the proletariat.
I'm usually, you know, me and my commie lads.
Look at Hayes. He's tweeting you instead of listening.
I was checking to see if you followed Morgan Spurlock yet. Not yet. You have.
You didn't follow him back?
We're still waiting on the follow back.
To it yet.
Jeez. You're never going to do
it. No, I'm going to get him on the show and just talk about Thundersticks. That's all I want to ask him about Thundersticks. Because his work was pretty good. You should think about getting him to do some timbali work for you live somewhere. if he could do what he did with the Thundersticks on a... He could do like... He'd be like the next Tito Puente.
Oh, I love Tito Puente.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Do you think he's listening now?
I don't. Oh. I'm going to say he pretty much saw some dude say, sweet Thundersticks work. And then that's as far as that went. I need to take it to the next level.
Since he's not listening, mm-hmm. I have a big, you know, the big mm-hmm. gossip that we learned about him is that he is no longer with the Super Size Me girlfriend.
Oh.
He's with, I don't think that's a secret. It's on his.
Okay. It's fair enough.
It's on his Wikipedia page
but how,
as well.
How do you, how, I mean, do all of you have so many friends? I mean, not just, you know, on the internet, but I mean in real life.
No.
It's overwhelming.
How many friends in real life do you think, like actual help me out friends? Everybody, figure that number out in your heads right now.
Right.
How many do you have?
Can I go last?
Sure. Hayes, how many?
Oh, God.
Like, actually, I'm in trouble. Help me out. 20?
20? Yeah, I'd say I could get up to 20. 20? We moved around a lot when I was mm-hmm. a kid, and so mm-hmm. I had to, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go at all now. 20. You know 20 people you could call in if you were in jail, and they help you.
I've been to jail.
Did they help? Who helped? How many people helped you?
Two.
Well, no, you. You.
What did you go to jail
But you're a
for?
Marshal. You're not telling them, actually. You're an air marshal.
Yeah.
You arrest people.
I'm like an air marshal for jail. Like, I'm the one. I'm the one plant. I'm a good plant for someone to put in jail and be like, so, we're pretty mad at the guards, right? No, I jumped a cab fare by accident. I got into a cab without a wallet, and I asked to be taken back to the bar I came from to get my wallet, and instead the person driving the cab, it was a woman, the first and last time I've ever had that.
Never had a woman cab
driver. She just waved a police officer over, got cuffed and stuffed on a Friday night.
Shoot.
In what city?
New York City.
New York
Went
City.
To the Tombs.
Did you ever get your wallet back?
I did. I was really, so, this is a very long story, but my glasses broke at some point during the night. No one ever explained to me how. I also ended up with a huge gash on my forehead, which I don't know where that came from either. And the next night when I got out of jail 22 hours later, I had to get another cab to get back to this bar to get my wallet. And as I tried to explain to this guy that I just needed to go and get my wallet and then I would come out and pay him, he threatened to call the cops on me again. So I had to lean out the window and ask the bouncer if he would please go in and get my Columbia jacket. It's a black Columbia jacket.
You said
and he
it
did.
In that voice.
Yeah.
Would you count
well,
I
had just gone to jail. So.
Yeah, so
I've
you picked
tough.
Up some.
Yeah.
You pick things up in jail.
Yeah.
I feel like that bouncer should be one of your 20. And if not, you have 21.
So I called, and two people showed up and mm-hmm. said, can he get out of prison? And they said, no.
That's two. At two.
So two. Nelly, how many people could you, I'm in trouble, pick up the phone?
Can they be on payroll?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Two?
Two.
Yeah.
Now, the next question is, how many people do you currently have on payroll?
I don't even know what payroll is. It just sounds fancy. Is my super on payroll? I mean, I give him money when I have a leak.
So your super would show up.
Oh, he'd be the greatest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is he like a Schneider type?
Super. Well, Schneider, what's that?
From One Day at a Time. Remember that show One Day at a Time?
Oh, that's a little past my time.
Remember Bonnie Franklin?
Can you go back to, say, Green Acres? Or?
That's right. Sorry. I don't mean to drop these
Edward G.
These hip hot shows on you.
To that broadcast of Felix the Cat, where he was just dancing.
Yes. What should we? What do you want to talk about? Like, there's
is he like Bud,
Uncle Tanous?
Bud Melman?
There Larry couple, Bud Melman?
Yeah, there are a couple of more modern. Yeah.
And speaking of Larry Bud Melman, the first time I saw you was that David Letterman time. Was that the first time a lot of people saw you?
Todd was on the show, too. We got our hair done together.
And what was that like? Because you did the dog song that night.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. They didn't show me shaking Dave's hand, and I was just so starstruck. Mm-hmm. He was like a sexy alien. His eyeballs were really, they had no moisture in them. Uh-huh. And he looked down like a god on high.
Uh-huh.
And
he was like a gray, is what you're saying, in alien terms.
A gray, what's that mean?
That's a certain type of alien.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. Yeah. But, yeah.
You ever watched television, digital TV? Do you ever like cable? Do you have cable?
No, well, the thing with the
flat... It's like the War of the Worlds.
Because one time, sometimes...
It's like the Mercury Theater of the Air.
The picture scrambles sometimes. That's a giveaway. Some people think that's a giveaway on who's an alien. If the picture scrambles and, like, distorts. It's betraying their...
Well, I just think the digital TV is terrible because a flat screen is, you know, if it can make Mia Farrow look fat, what hope is there for the rest of us? And you have Greta Garbo beneath layers of gauze and Vaseline they used to put on the lens, and you have Bob Dylan in high def. What's with that?
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
No.
Low def.
You just lost Mike.
Yeah. He just slid down the fan.
No, it's not. I mean, it's no offense to Uncle. It's unfair to Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
They're the ones being unfair. You know how when you call something out, it's like corporations. They always say they're about choice. In fact, they get rid of choice because it's strip mall America. You know, you have no actual choice anymore. But they all say it's about consumer freedom when it's actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to look out for each other.
Yeah. So two people, speaking of looking out for
each other. Well, one of them I was thinking was Carla, but she may be gone by now.
So it might be down to one. You're super.
Yeah, but he's so great.
Okay.
He's so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's super. You could say he's super.
Can I ask Nellie a question about corporations?
Yeah. Sure.
If Monsanto wanted to put weed, all I want for Christmas, in a commercial, what would you say?
Well, I think I'd have to say no. That's
they're not changing a word. They're getting your whole message out there.
But it's in an ad.
Yeah.
What if Monsanto...
For weed, though. For Monsanto weed. Branded weed, which we're going to see pretty soon.
Actually, you can read. There's a big article about Willie Nelson, how he's waging a fight against Big Pot, you know, because they have their two main companies. One of them is called Marley Naturals. They managed to talk Bob Marley's family into giving him the pot. But Willie's trying to keep it organic and with the local growers. So, no, I'm going to save up for Willie.
Okay.
Okay.
What about you?
Would I put your song if it paid me money? Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
What about you, Joe?
Would I put your song?
No. Well, I mean, anything. Would you put yourself in a month, for a price? I mean, you might think you could do good with that money, but what would your price? Would you have a price?
I probably wouldn't do it. It's real evil. They're real evil. They have a base in St. Louis, where I'm from, and they have security guards with all of the top officials at all times in St. Louis, where there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And that's another one that sounds a little bit like a Supersize Me that he may get sometimes. It's called Food Incorporated. That's a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
And that has a whole Monsanto bit with this farmer named Mopar from Indiana.
I call that movie Food Inc.
Calling it that as well.
Oh, Food Inc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Food Inc.
Well, brevity, the soul of...
Nelly, to answer your question about would I do something for an ad, I've read ads for Cards Against Humanity on a podcast for like probably $30. So.
Yeah, that's not the most. That's not. Monsanto.
I think it is actually.
You think
it's worse than Monsanto?
The game equivalent of Monsanto is okay.
Well, as Brecht said, dirty hands.
Well, let me get
no
this. Please, if someone's gonna start throwing Brecht quotes around, I would. Really appreciate if you let me do my thing now, Nellie. Which one's Brecht again?
Do you want to,
Three
Penny Opera? You want to talk about that?
Yes. Please. We have all night?
Or as Brecht Butler once said, my ex-husband.
Brecht Butler. Yeah. My favorite SNL cast member is Brecht Bennett.
You like Brecht Bennett?
Yeah.
can't go down this road of that. I would not sell your thing or anything to any of these lousy companies.
What if it was one kind of on the fence, though?
Like what? Like DraftKings?
Or like... Mm. I'm trying to think of something that's on the fence.
Coors?
Mm-hmm. Another Adolf, Mike. We were talking about Hess. Hess Gasoline, the head of... His name was Adolf Hess.
You are not gonna believe this. And I didn't make this connection until right now. I promise you you won't believe it.
What's that?
The person who I called...
Yeah.
...to bail me out of jail the night I was arrested in New York.
Yeah.
Michael Hess, son of John B. Hess, heir to the Hess Empire.
Oh, my God.
I believe in astrology.
Got friends in high places.
I believe now. I didn't believe before, but that's
friends
a real...
Friends in high places.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not me, man.
How did you meet? You went to Columbia together?
We went to college together.
So you went to Columbia University.
He did actually go to Columbia.
Well, what school did he go to?
Maybe Tom would like to take this one.
What school did he go to?
We went to Harvard.
Harvard?
Yeah.
University?
Yeah.
Okay. The Crimson...
The Crimson Tide.
Kitty Cats.
So what's that pudding thing?
The Tasty Pudding?
Yeah.
The Tasty Pudding.
Yeah.
So you met at Skull and Bones? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't say, right?
Yeah, sorry.
He just went too far.
Yeah, my ring.
We're
just,
all
my,
dead.
My ring just lit up.
Guys, we're all dead.
My ring phone.
With the H on it. Yeah. It starts to burn. We don't have the same thing at the community college I went to. There's not as much of a fraternity there. It would more be there. It would be more a matter of, wait, there's no more pizza left in the student. Like, you'd go and be like, no more pizza today in the cafeteria. Yeah. Like the pizza place would be like, hey, we're out of pizza. Like, you guys don't want to, maybe assemble another pizza? It'd be like, no, what are you kidding? It's 2:30 in the afternoon. We can't sell any more pizzas. This is the winding down now. That great moment in college life when you're like, oh, I'm done with class. Now I guess I better go back to my car and get out of here because that one exit at the school gets pretty jammed up with cars. You know, the good old-fashioned college experience.
How long did you last?
Oh, it took me 8 years to get through a 2-year school. Thank you for asking. It was a very... It was... But I worked full-time the whole time and picked my college classes around my work schedule. So that added to that old rah-rah, singing through a megaphone and... 23 Skidoo, OU Kid, Goldfish, how many goldfish, raccoon coats, and how many people can fit on this phone booth. All the games we did then. But it made me who I am. I'm out on the street. Right? It's like that Kiss song, Black Diamond.
Yeah.
Out on the street for a living. Ninety minutes of sleep.
Tom, how many friends do you have?
How many friends?
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends. I actually am lucky to have a lot of friends. I couldn't count that high.
Oh.
The amount of friends I have. Oh, wait, no, I could. 4. It turned out my community college teaching just kicked in. 4. I can count that high.
Did you ever see a film called Second Chorus?
No.
With Burgess Meredith, Paulette Goddard, and Fred Astaire?
Burgess Meredith, this is one of these up-and-comers, right? Burgess Meredith?
I think he was in Variety's, top comics to watch.
You have him marked down as a pick to click. So keep an eye on this. Keep an eye on this young, this up-and-comer.
Hannibal Burgess Meredith, is that something?
Hannibal, no, you're not...
I asked if it was something.
No points. No points for you. That's the Seinfeld reboot.
Do you know that the Soup Nazi charges $5,000 an appearance?
Wow. For what? To show up where?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Yes.
Like,
the Soup Nazi, he hasn't been on television in, well, let's go ahead and say 15 years. I mean, yeah, syndicated,
who
sure.
Who would pay it?
People, he's got...
You should see how much he gets to DJ.
That would be so great. Soup Nazi DJing.
Yeah, in Ibiza.
Yeah.
He's a good boiler room.
You're in. Yeah. Then we're going over to Ibiza. Pretty cool. Soup Nazi DJing. Soup Nazi. Ronnie Cycli and the Soup Nazi are DJing. St. Louis. You came from St. Louis.
Yeah.
What brought you to New York? What made New York? Was it the call of laughter that brought you, Joe?
So. My friend told me to move here.
So, your friend wasn't a psychic, was your friend?
No.
And I'm not making fun of it. I'm just wondering.
No, he's not a psychic.
Okay.
He's definitely not a psychic.
Well, that friend might have been a psychic because that friend was right. Because you moved here and you belong here.
What?
That friend was psychic.
What are you telling me right now?
The friend who told you to move here was psychic because that friend knew what that friend was talking about.
Wait, you can't say, to say you should move here, that's not a psychic thing, that's an encouragement.
No, but the friend saw the success you are currently having.
Oh, jeez. I had American cheese for two meals today.
Okay.
Did you have inside a toasted ravioli?
Wait, what did... How did you have American cheese and for two meals? What did you have?
American cheese.
Just like slices?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, back up on that whole things are going well thing for you now here. What kind of, what are we talking? Are we talking from a deli counter or like?
No, I'm not going to go up to a deli prefab. Counter and embarrass myself. Say, can I just have American cheese, please?
Prefab? Like processed.
What kind of, what do you mean?
Like in the plastic.
Oh, you thought
wrap?
I was just saying like American-made cheese.
I mean, what are you buying, like Kraft singles?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to the bottom
yes.
of.
That's what I was trying to say.
So what other shows do you have, Joe? You have so many things you do. What live things do you have? You had a thing you did a year or so ago where you did a thing with stuffed animules. What was that?
Stuffed animules?
Yeah.
Was it dolls?
Yeah, right? What was it? Wasn't that what it was? It was like a Michael Jackson-based thing?
Oh, I found a bunch of giant objects and a bunch of piñatas, and then I got a bunch of bats, and people could come smack things for an afternoon.
So it was just beat piñatas.
Beat anything that's hanging from the ceiling.
And what was the reaction? Were people losing their marbles?
People got into it, but kids came, so it was I felt a little uncertain about it.
Uh-huh. Were they letting out of anger?
Yeah, like the kids were going nuts and there was like 300 people and they're swinging bats. Mm-hmm. And I felt I had made up a liability form. I just wrote it up.
Yeah.
Based on a form I found on the internet. I got nervous it wasn't going to hold up if someone got injured.
Yeah, if somebody got clonked.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a violent person by nature, right? Sorry. I know you see some sort of dark, violent side.
It's more calculating in you.
It's more so you think I'm just more of the, like a straight up capital V villain.
Tom, if you saw, I want to know, because you don't seem like a violent person, but if you saw a rat, would you be the one to kill it?
No, I would try to catch it and release it somewhere else.
That's right. They have a heart trap.
Yeah. That's what he majored in community college.
That's how that was how I subsidized my tuition. Catching a few rats. It was $5 a rat. Went against my.
It was at the Rat Skull and Rat Boats
for those school books.
And rat boats.
Worked against it. Those school books are expensive.
I have a rat in my kitchen. His name's Ben Ratliff. And he's gray and brown. He looks a little like Alec Baldwin, but with finesse.
Wait, is he a pet?
He's a New York City street rat. And you know how Joan Rivers said, "Can we talk?" And Rodney Dangerfield had, "I don't get no respect." Well, my rat has a catchphrase, too. He goes, "Hey, you gonna eat that?"
You let it. What about your super? Your super's your best friend. What?
Oh well, I like Ratty.
Oh,
Ratty really goes for the avocado. Rats don't, you know. It's so okay.
Where's this rat?
Look, you know how many people listening? They probably, you know, take people home with them.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, a human is much more terrifying than a rat.
Yeah. I look.
Wait, who are these people who?
Besides, if I, you
take
know,
take people home with them.
Well, you know what I mean.
You know.
I've read the Brian Epstein story.
Exactly. That whole Mr. Goodbar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
That new movie, Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Should be a swing. It comes out next.
Oh, yeah. It comes out next week. This kid, it's going up Diane against
Star
Keaton.
Wars.
Yeah. Look out for this Diane Keaton kid, says Nellie Mackay.
Have you seen Paul F. Tompkins' imitation of Tom Berenger lately?
Lately, no.
Oh.
I haven't.
Well, I just wanted to give a plug. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, I thought of one other joke.
What's that?
Because you had mentioned, I mean, it was kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it goes back a while.
Sure.
So you weren't really talking about a modern form of exploitation, mm-hmm. but you mentioned, oh, this is so stupid. I'm just going to leave
it. Say it.
No, it's
say
the
it.
Chorus
say
talking.
Say it.
I just
say
like
it.
I just like hearing people's jokes and they're repeating them badly. Mm-hmm. And but they what they said was that they're not a raconteur, they're a raconteur. They just have so many stories about raccoons. They love garbage.
Uh-huh. Raccoons do love garbage. I live in New Jersey, so I see all sorts of animals all over the place. Skunks.
Yeah.
Deer. Yeah.
Yeah.
No chimps
yet. Right. Yet.
Chimps. Well, you could broadcast from an African sanctuary.
I guess I could.
Why not go to Virunga? Have you seen the documentary Virunga?
No.
Oh, it's fabulous. You can watch it on the interweb.
Virunga.
Yes. Virunga. V-I-R-U-N-G-A.
Okay.
U-N-G-A. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's produced, yeah.
Okay.
It's good. Worthy.
So what are current, what are the current shows you have going, Joe, so people can see you do things?
I do a show with the guy that made me move out here.
Mm-hmm.
We do a two-person show together.
Mm-hmm.
And we reenact a middle school talent show in real time, just mm-hmm. the two of us.
Uh-huh. And that show is called?
Ridgefield Middle School Talent Night.
Okay. And when is that happening next?
That's going to happen tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Where?
At the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Okay.
I think that'll be awesome. Okay. They're all okay.
And where do people recognize you from? From Broad City?
No, I played Yogurt Girl. Nobody's going to recognize
me. I recognized you from it. I screamed when I saw you,
you
in that scene. I literally screamed when I was like, oh my God, Joe Firestone is selling yogurt to the... dude who's not one of the two women on Broad City.
Oh, thanks.
Right?
Yeah. I don't...
Oh, my God. Joe Firestone is in the B story of this episode. Broad City. Do you ever watch Broad City?
No, but if you're in the B story of something and you don't get cut, you must be fabulous.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she is fabulous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks. She's it really was... you know, there was a whole backstory that really just didn't make it in the script, you know?
You also do stuff with my buddy Brett Davis.
Yeah. Love Brett Davis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he has his Wednesday night show. He has a show on Manhattan Cable.
Mm. We found out it's called Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
Is that what it's called? Manhattan, the MNN.
Yeah.
And it's on Wednesday nights. It's called The Special without Brett Davis. And he's this kook who does all these different characters.
Do you mean it's Brecht real. Davis?
Brecht.
Yeah, Brecht Davis.
That's the Brecht that you study.
I slipped it in. My love. It's Brecht's love of wordplay that inspired me to do that. I'm assuming that Brecht loved wordplay. I'm just assuming. Because, again, at the school I went to, often it was hard to tell the difference between fellow students... teachers and custodians. And I've said this before. This is how you would be in the classroom. If someone walked in and they sat at a desk next to you, oh, you're a student. If they walked in and sat at the big desk at the front of the room, oh, you're the teacher. If they walked in and picked up the garbage can and brought it back out and dumped it into the big garbage can. Oh, you are cleaning the school. But they all look the same at my school.
Well, maybe you could, if you ask everyone who has a PhD here, mm-hmm. it is probably the janitors.
Who has a PhD?
Oh, there's a quite a high percentage of janitors have, you know, I'm considering, have a PhD.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like that that garbage can wisdom, right? Like they know, they see people. They go through the trash like that maniac who used to bug Bob Dylan. Remember that guy?
Oh, that guy. I have some of the tapes.
Yeah. Aren't those the best tapes when he's calling Bob Dylan and he's like talking to him? And then he's like, hey, Bob, what if I bring the thing by this weekend? And Bob Dylan's like, oh, no, man, I got to, like, put these shelves together, man. My wife's going to kill me if I don't put these shelves together. How about Monday? Just the idea of Bob Dylan putting shelves together is the funniest thing I've ever heard. The idea that he had to beg off meeting this guy. What is it? It's AJ. What is it, Mike? What is it? AJ Weberman, was it? Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, Bob Dylan building shelves, and he's worried his wife's going to kill him. And then when he's like, you know, Bob, there's 100 people writing better songs than you right now. He's like, no, name them. And he's like, it's like Creedence Clearwater Revival. He's like, oh, no, man. He gets so mad at that. And then he goes, what about Gordon Lightfoot? He's like, he's pretty good. Like he loves, Bob Dylan had a, loved Gordon Lightfoot. What about Jim Croce? He was only 30 when he died. And he was ready to get out of the biz. He was going to go be a screenwriter. He was done with music. And his plane crashed.
Oh, well, it's a good thing. That's a mistake.
And he never made money at music. He never made the money. Yeah. He had signed a bad deal, had hits, never got paid. Mm. He's going to quit. His plane crashed.
You know, the first season of Jersey Shore, nobody got paid.
Really? Yeah. I guess it's a parallel. It's a
It's a parallel in culture.
Yeah. If you go down this Jersey Shore now, like on Seaside Heights, they'll have still have things that just like see the house, the Jersey Shore house. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
I guess it's like a Monticello for New Jersey, right? Like that's the Thomas Jefferson. The situation. It's all the same. Right?
They have the tour guides dressed up like characters, and it's like a time warp back to
like Paulie
2012.
D. Yeah. Dressed like Paulie D. Paulie D?
Yeah.
Paulie G.
Paulie G is the guy from the comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a pizza place in Brooklyn called Paulie G's as well.
Sure. Good pizza.
Pretty safe bet that there was one. You didn't even have to bring this story. I was going to say, I could bet that there was a pizza place called Pauly G's just because that's what pizza is.
I know a guy that does this party trick every time he goes to an Italian restaurant.
What's that?
He says, he brings the waiter over and he goes, tell Mario I said hi. Mm-hmm. And then the waiter goes and tells someone named Mario that this guy says hi.
But does that work for other ethnicities?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
Is that okay if you do it to say like a Chinese person?
I don't think it's okay at all, but I don't know how it works.
See, he's got you in the crosshairs now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Harvard's got me in the crosshairs.
No, it's not her. It's her friend. Bad friend.
Yeah.
This guy wrote a movie.
Hatemonger of a friend. What was it called? Mein Kampf?
He wrote, what's that movie?
Triumph of the Will.
Johnny Be Good.
Johnny Be Good?
Yeah.
That's like worse than Mein Kampf. That's the one where Anthony Michael Hall was a football player.
Yeah.
It's great to know that the guy who wrote that is now doing pranks on restaurants.
He seems like, he's in a good place. I was expecting a little younger with this guy. I will say that.
Best show, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
Oh, my name's Paul from Queens.
Paul from Queens. What's going on tonight in Queens?
Oh, it's a good night. I was out a little earlier at the comedy show. That was very good. So I'm having a good night.
Where, can we ask where in Queens?
Someone said something. I didn't quite hear it.
Where in Queens? Where in Queens?
Astoria.
Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Oh, who did I steal that from?
It's a very hip neighbor.
It's Paula P. She does that. But,
Who?
Paula P. As opposed to Polly P., who is a character of Brecht. Just keep going.
Paula Pell?
Yeah, Paula Poundstone. You know how she always asks people a question, and then whatever they say, she goes, mm-hmm. Okay. No, Astoria, that's nice.
Who did you see do comedy tonight?
Oh, I saw Dan Licata, Joe Pear, and Charles Gould. They host the show, and there are many other people on the show. Mm.
So what can we do for you here?
Well, the reason I called, and I'd also like to say hello to Joe and Hayes and Nellie. Hi, guys.
This guy's a Pauly as well. What kind of Pauly are you?
Pauly?
Yeah, what's your initial?
Oh, P-A-H.
Hmm. All right. Move on. What else? So you wanted to ask what now?
Well, I'm really glad Nellie's there because this is a musical question. A couple weeks ago, I've just caught up with the show. Fredericks was talking about jizz jazz. And so my question is...
Fred, just, you know, there's this guy Fredericks. He's from Florida. He's this maniac. And he called and talked about something, and now this degenerate is following his lead. So what do you want to know?
Well, I just want to know, because I was reading about the very same thing, and this guy, Mac DeMarco, he's sick of people, you know, putting these labels on him he doesn't like, so he came up with this thing, jizz jazz. He's a jizz jazz artist. So it's a made-up thing. But
oh,
I
it is?
Yeah.
So it's made up. This is not actual...
No, it doesn't really describe his music, yeah, but I think...
We're done here, this guy.
So, like, how he hit you with this guy, Mac DeMarco. People, yeah. Like, this movie, Rat Race, this guy, Mac DeMarco. Like,
I felt like it was at one of those Red Bull music symposiums that they do. Have you done anything in any of those?
No. Red Bull, like Oreo, they like to use YouTube to advertise to children. They're two of the worst offenders.
But do you like Red Bull?
I like to go,
What's the drink of choice for you, Nellie?
You know, it's just funny. I'm here and I'm sitting here with this beer because we were in studio earlier today and I needed, you know, a kind of white trash energy drink as well. But it's funny because, you know, these people, I don't think they talk any better. I mean, I can speak for myself. If you could hang up on us, you probably would.
No.
I mean, but don't you feel? I mean, sometimes I get a little stuttery too.
No, but this guy had an attitude with it.
He had an attitude.
He knew he was... He was poking me with a stick. He knew it. It's like the game within the game. You know when you're on stage with like your band, say, and then suddenly there's like some inside joke that you guys or somebody will do a thing and then you guys will know it's funny, but like the audience won't know necessarily, but you guys get the thing. He was doing that to me. You didn't know he was needling me, but he knew it.
Right.
He knew I knew it.
Yeah.
Because you know I can tell? He's hear Mike laughing out there.
Yeah.
He couldn't be happier to hear this.
He's playing the game too.
Yeah. Is this good, Mike? Oh, he's setting it up now. So, Nellie, you had an album come out earlier this year of all, like Hayes had mentioned, of all awesome 60s covers. Moby Grape is on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You like Moby Grape a lot?
Much of this music has been lost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think not only because they haven't, I mean, in a way it's good they haven't been co-opted into the standard repertoire and turned into elevator music, but also because of, I think, the politics of the time, that it's still too powerful.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you wanted to get on there but couldn't get on there? Is there a song you couldn't fit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many we've been doing lately in concert, Compared to What and Sunny Gooch Street by Donovan, Fixin' to Die, which, you know, we update, you know.
Sure.
It's still as relevant as ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. I'd love to do a quick acoustic Christmas song at some point tonight. Mm-hmm. But I know we're going a few more hours.
Let's do it. We'll go 10 more minutes. Yeah. Can you do it right now?
I'd love to.
I would love it if you did.
You know, I think all three of you know it, so if you want to sing, we could sing it together.
Hey, Mike, you want to come in here? Actually.
No, come on, Mike.
Okay. Bring Mike in. Bring the whole group in.
I'm giving Mike my mic.
No, I want you to sing. I want you to sing, Joe. Oh.
Carla, can I call Carla, too?
Sure, yes, everybody can come. Everybody, come in. Everybody. We got Randall here. We got Pat.
Yeah, if anyone wants any part of this, Mike, feel free.
Dudio, AP Mike, Carla.
Lovely. Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way, he's filled his sleigh with things for you and for me. Everybody, it's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three-quarter time wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Nobody gathered in the room and nobody knew the lyrics.
Nobody knew it. These clowns thought you were going to do Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, look, I knew it. I didn't want it to just be a duet. When they didn't jump in on it, I'm like, first of all, if I start singing, it's going to draw too much attention to my beautiful, sonorous voice.
Well, we could do the bar version now.
But then when they didn't jump in, I'm just like, I'm going to keep it. Can stay a solo.
But what would they do down at Malaki's, or what's the bar in Bayonne?
Malaki's.
Moloch's.
Yeah.
Moloch's Tavern.
Masses. Yeah.
O'Brien.
What songs do they sing down there, Mike?
Because I got high?
Because I got high, yeah.
The big song in Masses is because I got high.
So they sing, and they do, like, weird. I picture them doing a fair amount of, like, sea shanties, right? Because Bayonne is a weird, it's a watery city.
Mm.
It's got surrounded by water.
Mm.
Right, Mike?
Yeah. Lots of metal, though. Nazareth.
They're like Nazareth.
Yeah.
I did karaoke with Mike one night.
Yeah.
It was, do you know that song Hair of the Dog by Nazareth where it's like, now y'all messing with the son of a bitch. And then Mike did it and he was like, now you're messing with son of a bitch. As if he hit his thumb with a hammer. As if he was like your dad hitting his thumb with a hammer. Yeah, Mike did karaoke. He did that.
And then he did Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen, maybe the most depressing song ever. Like, he's trying to upset everybody at karaoke. Like, he just wants the bad. Right, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I want to mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up. From, yeah, too much fun going on here. That's Mike's thing. Let's mix it up. Let's mix up fun and the opposite of fun.
Can you do the yeah, yes? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, he did. He was all in on that one. And then he did The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel, which was very powerful. You should have seen him in Philadelphia. 800 people were cheering him on. We did a show on Sunday there. It was crazy. He was the look. I saw the look of contentedness when the crowd was chanting his name. It was the most upsetting thing I've ever seen. Just the look of like, yeah, this seems about right. Like the idea that like these people chanting my name aggressively. He looked like he was at home. I've never seen him look more at ease than with that blossoming Nazi rally he almost had going. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom and the gang. This is Caroline in Brooklyn.
Caroline in Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn are you?
Tony, East Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm. East Williamsburg. Just calling it Williamsburg isn't fancy enough for you.
It's a real neighborhood.
Yeah, they don't say Williamsburg anymore because that's not cool. But East Williamsburg is cool.
Uh-huh.
You can also say West Bushwick.
West Bushwick? I never heard that.
No, that I made up.
Oh. Just got goosebumps.
Yeah. What's going on tonight, Carolyn?
I need some holiday help.
Okay. What's going on?
I'm hosting a holiday party with my roommates this weekend, and I am tired of answering, what have you been up to? And I need a quick way to move the conversation away from that. And I was wondering if you guys had any tips.
Why don't you write something up that ever you can hand to people at the door? Like one of those cards that say, that people send out and say, this is the kind of year I'm having. Meh, meh, meh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just put a thing saying, Carolyn is not having a great year. Do not ask about it. What if you just hung that right on the front door?
Really set the tone.
Yeah. Like, please, let's have fun tonight. But
I need this.
This is a down year.
Do you know what I think you could really do is, and I've done this before, is if you have a party and you don't want to talk about, you put up something really, like, stark and maybe upsetting on the wall. So it's a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. Like, you put a nasty picture of a naked person up at, like, 3 foot by 5 foot. That's 15 square feet of just, like, naked, nasty person. And nobody's going to be talking about each other. Everyone's going to be talking about this, like, uh-huh. Where'd you get that?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Well, you might as well not have a party then. If you have to go to that length, you might as well just cancel the party.
Yeah, I'd say cancel the party for sure.
So that's your advice. Cancel your party. I think, you know what you do, Carolyn? You do what I do. You think I'm running from this Patti Smith thing? You don't think it's one of the worst things that ever happened to me? I go right at it now. And nobody knows what to do when I do. You know, you should have seen the looks on their faces in this room when I started telling this thing. Suddenly, it was like the nicest thing that it could have happened to me when I look at the control that story gives me. Go right at it. I'm having a terrible year. Just say that. I'm having a terrible year.
So you're saying I should just lean into the bah humbug.
Lean into it. Just say, we're all here. We're lucky to be here. We're all alive. That said, this year, not so hot.
It wasn't, right?
No, it was terrible.
But do people even ask you anymore? I mean, are you on the internet? I mean, I thought people kind of, they don't even ask anymore. They just look at their phones the whole party. I mean, judging by probably what, if you are on the internet, they probably already know you're having a horrible year, no?
Well, I try not to be as forthcoming about it on social media as some of my peers.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Can you be kind of vague? I mean, can you say you're in contracting and then, you know, some hunky guy will say you have such soft hands?
Can you do that? Would that work?
I can certainly try.
Well, I would say, if I can borrow a page from the master, Brecht. It ain't. What did he say? What did Brecht say? You know the one I'm thinking of. What was it?
The one that starts "It ain't."
Yeah. It ain't what you do; it's the way that you do it.
Okay.
Right.
Every character in Three Penny Opera says it at least once.
Right. It ain't what you do.
Yeah, the big number. Yeah, the big closing number.
Yeah. Right. You know that song.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's that song called? You know that song. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. What is that? Is that a Fun Boy 3 song? I think that might be Fun Boy 3. Oh, boy.
I think it's called Ain't Way.
Thank you. I'm looking. Somebody said that the Patti Smith story is one of the best stories they've ever heard. I appreciate that. I'm not running from it.
Can she have your story?
Yeah, why don't you tell the Patti Smith story as your story?
That's a great idea.
Great idea, Hayes. I'll franchise it out. Like,
Friendlies. I mean, it's not as good as telling of your contractor. And then
that'll
some
be my
guy
fribble.
That you have soft hands.
That story's my fribble.
Can I rent it from you for the night? Like,
yes.
What would the fee be for that?
$5.
You got it. Send me your PayPal info. I'll Venmo you, Tom.
From Soup Nazi.
I'll send you my PayPal info, but you better mark this down as a gift, not as merchandise. I'm not taking a loss on this.
It's going to be personal, not for goods and services, but I'm probably going to write it off on my taxes.
I'll send you the info. You email me. $5 per use.
You got it.
Per use.
Oh, wow.
So if I tell it multiple times per night, it's $5 every time?
Yes.
Oh, that seems totally fair.
Not per person, though, so she could gather everybody around.
It'd be like, clink, 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 clink. Everybody gather around.
Everyone's been asking me how I've been doing it.
I only want this to cost $5. Everybody listen to this. Well, look, you have a great party and have a great holiday. I'll talk to
you. And you guys as well. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All
right, it's that time. Tuesday has now become Wednesday, guys. The show is over. You may go in peace. Right? No, it's not mass. Hayes Davenport.
Yeah.
.com.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it?
My dad recently, he's been squatting on that domain for a number of years. Uh-huh. And he just emailed me to tell me it was going to lapse.
Okay.
So this is really the first time I've ever had cause to use it, and it is, as of like 2 days ago, no longer mine.
So, what if, and I'm not saying this, I don't know your father, what if he was like selling like vitamins on it or something, like, and you're just like, I just went to HayesDavenport.com, and it's like selling like weird like vitamins and stuff. He's like, oh no, that's me, that's... Just looking to squeeze a few bucks out of your audience. Your audience being Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah.
The number 7 best podcast
of
in the comedy category.
Just of the year 2015.
2015.
This past year.
Yes. So people can listen to that and watch for upcoming thrilling episodes of Hollywood Handbook into 2016. Joe Firestone.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah.
Well, what's the one-liner on you? What's the...
Sassy New Yorker, ready for anything.
Okay. I like that.
That's mine.
Tomorrow night at the UCB Theater.
Yeah.
Your show.
Mm-hmm.
And every Monday night on WFMU.
Yep.
Doctor Game Show. You should get one of these two bananas to come on that show.
I should.
Right?
I should.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Anytime. She makes up all different games. It's a game show, but every game is brand new. Wow. And then she's got this crooked judge keeping score. Because I was on it, and I clearly won, but this guy was so in the pocket of whoever was the other guy. I just felt crooked a little judge. Hurt by it, but it was still fun. Mm. Nellie Mackay, what do you have? Weed. All
Free
I
weed.
Want for Christmas.
Free weed here. Just, yeah, weed. All I want for Christmas. It sounds even better with the video.
Okay, so people can watch that
on
their computer.
Yeah.
Are you doing any live shows?
Yeah, we're going to play the Detroit Museum.
Okay.
Or is it the Detroit Institute of Arts?
Yeah.
The official title. And, you know, it's in front of the great mural, so I'll tell all my hilarious Frida and Diego stories.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
And when is that?
That'll be great.
Friday, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people can always find out things about you where?
Oh, you know, on the DL.
On the DL.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
That's what?
When you go to the Detroit Institute of Art, I promise this is true.
Yeah.
This is another thing you won't believe. You'll see a wing named after A. Alfred Taubman, which is the grandfather of the other guy who came to help
get
me
you out of jail.
Get out of jail that night.
You're running with some pretty fancy people.
I hope you dropped out of Harvard.
It's cosmic. It's just a cosmic thing. You
cosmic.
Know?
Yeah, it's just out there.
It's just everything's, you know, it's all flying
people
around.
People you run across. Yeah. What a coincidence running across people like that at Harvard.
Well, you know, I know the type of people. Those were the type of people I thought could, like, get me out of jail.
Yeah. You knew he'd get me out of jail? AP Mike. If I'm in jail, he'd break me out. Right? Look, I'll notice a guard coming through. He'll be in a guard outfit. Right? And then I just don't ask questions because I know there's a dead guard somewhere in that prison. Said Mike, but that's what he do because he's my friend.
Yeah. Well, so, it's good to know the Skull and Bones are sponsoring.
Still going strong.
Revolutionaries.
Yes, exactly. Not me, man. I'm in the streets. I got nothing.
You got Chimp Skull.
You know what I got, Nellie? I got this mic. It's all I got. This. But then look at this award a friend gave me.
Your friend gave it to you.
A friend gave
it
to me. The greatest.
Yeah.
The greatest.
Yeah. You should do the pictures thing and sell your autographed pictures, if that's working.
Apparently that's the new trend.
In Bayonne or elsewhere? Camden?
Camden?
Yeah.
Mike couldn't cut it down in Camden. Camden's so rough, Philly didn't want it. Philly was like, yeah, that can be in New Jersey. We don't want that in Pennsylvania. Or their worst neighborhood is in a different state. That's how rough Camden is.
Well, when the Republican National Convention was in Philadelphia, they, instead of helping Camden, in any way of giving money towards actual services, not that Camden, Camden is actually better off than them in terms of soul and spirit, but in terms of something, they just painted all the houses along the riverfront so that when they were looking across from their terraces and penthouses, Camden would look pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned that in a book by Ralph Nader. And, Patti Smith just helped Ralph Nader open the first tort law museum, another museum, in the country just recently up in Connecticut. You should go.
That's
you should
awesome.
Broadcast from there.
I would. You know what I would ask Ralph Nader if I ever ran into him? If he ever saw Humble Pie. I would do it. I can't stop. It's my new compulsion. Well, my friends, I'm going to end the show now. Thank you for coming down, Nellie Mackay, Joe Firestone, Hayes Davenport. It was a lot of fun tonight. And we will be back next week. We'll do the final episode of the show for the year. And that will be fun also. So right now, though, I'm going to say goodnight with a silly, gonna pick a song. I didn't pick a song here. I'm going to just keep playing this band, Unrest, every week. Where is it? Unrest. We're going to play by them the song. I'm going to play. What's the song I like by them? Look at so many I like. Kill Whitey. I like that one. I'm going to play that. Right? Enough with Whitey. Right? Seriously.
It's such a sweet nickname.
Whitey?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sick of Whitey.
Cracker.
Exactly.
Honky.
Guys like Hayes. Right? Out on Harvard.
Hayes is white?
Bad. Right. Yeah.
Burn Harvard, burn. Right? That's what I say.
Yeah.
Me and Mike are going to go up there. We'll stir some stuff up.
I can't believe it. I mean, I would never have mentioned the only two, like, millionaires. I know. If not for the cosmic coincidence, but now I'm just like, the only two people.
It makes it sound like that's who you're running with.
Hayes Davenport's the best name I've ever heard. I just wanted to let you know.
Yes. The first thing you said to me.
Oh, but Joe, for a lady to be named Joe? Mm-hmm. That's so lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Is it J-O?
Yeah.
It's just so fast. Joe Firestone?
Yeah.
That's so great
cool.
name.
So thanks. Cool.
Thanks. Wow.
What's the first thing I said to you?
Well, one of the first things you said to me was like when we got along, you were just like, I didn't think we were going to get along. And I was like, why? You said, my name is Hayes Davenport.
Somebody told me when I said that I was going to meet you that I was created for you to destroy.
You know, Joan Rivers had one of her earliest jokes was when she was breaking down. She was just beginning to get really into the stand-up, the personal humor that put her over. And she had a beat-up car, and it got broke down. She had this really heavy tape recorder, like a 40-pound thing. And so she was trudging along, and her hairpiece fell off in the rain, you know, and she was trying to get things. And then a car came along, and she based a joke on it and said, now she had a $400 hairpiece with Firestone across the forehead.
That's awesome.
So I think that's a blessing of sorts.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
All right, guys. I'm going to play the song Hydroplane by Unrest, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.